baby Jesus on a pogo stick. This episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, this is a late night episode, is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy for you to create your own professional website. And not like a bullshit professional website, but like a really dope website. I say dope, I'm almost 50. How about that? I'm 46, I say dope. I don't give a fuck. Say it because I mean it. They make dope websites. Squarespace has beautiful designs for you to start with and all the style options you need to create a unique website for you and or your business. I know you probably like, there's no way I can do this. This is too fucking complicated. It's as easy as sending an email with a picture in it. If you can do that, if you can attach things, if you can drag and drop, it's very simple stuff. And they offer 24/7 support. You can make your own business and you can start an online store with Squarespace in a wicked easy fashion. Squarespace also even has a logo creator. You can create a clean, custom, simple logo design for yourself in minutes. Beautifulness. All by yourself. Each design automatically includes a unique mobile experience that matches the overall style of your website. So if you make a website on Squarespace, you can look at it on your iPhone. You can look at it on a Kindle device. You can look at it on a laptop. You can look at it on your fucking Android phone. You get me. You understand what I'm saying. Mac, PC, whatever, whatever. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and enter the code word Joe. That's squarespace.com and the code word Joe. It says Squarespace, a better web, starts with your website, but that's ridiculous because the web's pretty fucking awesome already. Change that shit, Squarespace. Anyway. Joe Rogan. Squarespace.com, enter in the code word Joe. We're also brought to you by Stamps.com. And with Stamps.com is a way to avoid a lot of the nonsense that goes along with sending shit through the mail. Like, let's say you start your own website with Squarespace, you start selling shit out of Squarespace, then you got to send it. Oh, good googly moogly, son. You do not want to have to go to the fucking post office and wait in line with a bunch of other people that don't want to be waiting in line. And a poor person behind the counter that's got to measure all your shit and package it up. You can get rid of all those steps and handle it all completely from your home while drunk and naked. And it's totally legal. And you do it through your computer. You use stamps.com. You don't have to get drunk and naked. It's just a suggestion. And I don't know like how you deal with things when you're naked or when you're drunk. You might make poor choices. So you might not want to use stamps.com when you're drunk and naked. But if you're sober in your home, you can do whatever the fuck you want. What am I, your dad? My point is that you can print official U.S. postage right there from your home computer, slap that shit on a box, and weigh it with the digital scale that they provide as a part of this delicious $110 package, which includes up to $55 of free postage. Squarespace is an awesome way to start a website, and stamps.com is an awesome way to sell shit. I like that they go hand in hand. Do you see how I rock shit, Amy Schumer?
Full circle.
Craziness. Stamps.com has been used by Brian Redband for a long time. If you buy one of his cool kitty cat t-shirts that he designs and makes himself, those are all sent through stamps.com. It's also how Christina Pazitsky and Tom Segura, when they send your mom's house stuff, they use stamps.com too. It's an awesome, awesome service. And if you use the promo code JRE, you will get this special offer, which is no risk trial, $110 bonus offer, which includes a digital scale and up to $55 of free postage. So go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type JRE. That's stamps.com and enter in JRE. We're almost home, Amy Schumer. We're almost home. We're at the home stretch.
Oh, boy.
We're also brought to you by Onnit.com. That's O-N-N-I-T, a human optimization website. And that name was only created because there's another way to describe it. It seems a little douchey and pretentious. We're about human optimization. But that's really what we're about, so there's no other way to say it, unfortunately. It sounds good until you're talking to someone who's skeptical. And then looking at you like, what, bitch? What the fuck are you talking about? Human optimization website. What kind of nonsense? Strength and conditioning equipment. That's what I'm talking about, bitch. We sell kettlebells at Onnit, both regular kettlebells and artistic ones. We have these primal bells, which are all the great apes, gorillas, orangutans, chimpanzees, and little howler monkeys. And we also made zombie bells. This is the most recent one. All these were done by a guy named Steven Shubin Jr., badass artist, created these awesome things. And then we made them out of metal. And they are all 3D balanced. So although, you know, they look cool and everything like that, we all also wanted to make sure they're completely, totally functional. I use the 70, of course, the Gorilla, because I'm a fucking manly man. And I got no time for your bullshit. And if you're preparing for the zombie apocalypse, what better way than prepare with a fucking metal zombie head? And they will last you forever, like literally. After the apocalypse comes and the aliens land and they try to decipher our culture, they'll find a few fucking zombie heads and gorilla heads. And be like, what the fuck were these people into? They will never figure it out. Mark my words, they would never fucking figure it out. They were like, they worship the gods of the monkeys. No, you dummies. We worked out with them. Onnit.com. O-N-N-I-T. Use the code word Rogan and you will save 10% off any and all supplements. That's O-N-N-I-T. The code word is Rogan. Amy Schumer is here. Why fuck around?
Joe Rogan Podcast. Check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night. All day.
Powerful Amy Schumer.
Hello.
Can we start every show that you're on like that? With a little song?
Please.
Powerful Amy Schumer song?
I would love it.
Thank you.
It's I want to be brought on stage that way.
Why not? You could do it. You could demand that. People have riders.
Yeah.
A lot of people have riders. You know, They put a lot of weird shit in there, like white M&Ms and fucking...
I heard I have the cheapest... The guy I've been on the road with said I have the cheapest rider he's ever seen in his life.
Really?
Yes.
Cheapest? Like, what's cheapest. Your rider? What do you require?
It's like, honestly, vegetables and fruit for a smoothie. Like some Greek yogurt. It's just like, he's like...
Beautiful. Perfect. Yeah.
And no then heroin? Wine, which I tell him to hide for me unless I ask for it.
What about a pair of white sneakers?
I should do that. Clean. I need a hip hop vibe. I've got nothing.
Well, there's some artists that do demand things like that. They demand, like, every time I go to one of these places, I always ask the guys backstage, like, what's the craziest shit you've ever seen?
Yeah.
Because a lot of these dudes that are, like, working in these comedy clubs or these, especially these theaters that have seen, like, rock and roll bands coming through,
right.
You always want to know, like, what? Come on, man. What's the craziest shit you've seen? Just rock and roll coke stories for the most part. That's what everybody has. I mean, I wouldn't repeat the stories because I wouldn't want to get anybody in trouble.
Oh.
But they're mostly just coke and naked people stories.
The funniest one I ever heard was TJ Miller, that comic.
Uh-huh.
He asked for either an actual or a picture of a pinata in the green room. So, like, sometimes the promoter has to, like, draw the picture of a pinata. I'm like, that's awesome. I wish I've got nothing exciting on there. But until recently, there was some mistake where it told drivers not to look at me or not to talk to me. Like, something was in there. And in December, I heard that and I go, oh my God, that's not supposed to be there. Please take that out. And they haven't. I just found out they didn't. So it's so, because I'm always like, why is there such horrible tension in this on this ride? And then they're like, and I'll talk to them. They're like, oh, you know, it says I'm not. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. Like me being like, no, don't talk to me.
I've had that in my rider accidentally as well. Not even accidentally. Like, it was a conversation that somebody must have had with someone. Like, you shouldn't talk to him. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I used to be really pained by small talk, actually. Like, on the road, because you have so many little interactions. But Colin Quinn, like, really turned me on to small talk. He goes so hard into small talk that, like, people go the other way. Like,
it's like an art form to him.
One driver at a time, one person who works at a hotel, like, he'll small talk you to death. And it really has, like, sort of changed the road for me.
I've had some great drivers. I have had some really, really hilarious dudes. I had a dude in New Orleans that grew up in New Orleans and had no idea how crazy New Orleans was.
Craziest place I've ever been.
And in comparison to the rest of the country, like, there's certain things you just get away with in New Orleans, like walking down the street with an open beer. Like, the cops pulled him over. He was, and he was only, like, you know, a couple hours outside of New Orleans, he said. He drove a couple hours. And he's out there with a beer, like, sitting there by his car, drinking this beer. And the cop pulls over, and the cop starts asking him questions. And while the cop's talking to him, he puts the one beer down and cracks open another one.
Oh my God. Like nothing.
Like nothing. Like, starts drinking the second beer. And the cop was like, are you out of your fucking mind? Like, what are you doing? He goes, wait a minute. The cop goes, where are you from? And the guy goes, New Orleans. And he's like, oh, okay. Listen, you can't do that here.
Right.
You can't do that anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, you live in a crazy place.
It's such a cultural. I love it there. That's also my favorite place. But I've seen the worst stuff there.
The worst stuff?
The worst.
Like violence?
The combination of everything bad. And I went to college in Baltimore. Like, not a coincidence that they filmed The Wire there. But in New Orleans, I was like 17. I was there in a volleyball tournament. and I was in a Haagen-Dazs, and I saw these like two guys straight from the bayou, and they were talking. They were both like hitting on this girl, and they didn't know that it was a hooker, and they didn't know that it was a guy. You know, and it was, I was like 17. I was like, ooh, that's dark. And they were like both like celebrating that this hot girl was talking to them, and I was like, oh, one of them is about to catch a dick.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that happened.
But I love that city. It's my favorite.
A friend of mine went to California, and my friend Eddie. We were in. We were right by the Comedy Store, you know, that hotel by the Comedy Store, that ramp that's going up.
Yeah.
And this woman was driving up the hill. And my friend Eddie was like, dude, that chick is so fucking hot. Oh, my God. Look how hot that girl is.
Yeah.
And she was a transvestite who had a transsexual that had done a piece on The Man Show with us. And I said, oh, I know her. And I'm like, she's a he. And he's like, no fucking way. I go, well, not anymore. She's not. Yeah. But she used to be, I guess she still kind of is because she has a penis still.
Yeah.
Well, and he was like, what?
What was it? Was it transsexual and transvestite?
Oh, transsexual is someone who has gotten their sex changed.
Okay.
Transvestite is someone who
dresses
as a woman. Okay. You know, you could be a cross dresser too.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird when you define, you know, like what they are. Like what is a person who dresses like
would
a
Jim
woman?
Norton fuck them?
But I mean, not even if they, I mean, not even like a sexual thing. Because if it, a dress, like, I think you could be a transvestite and be completely heterosexual.
Like Eddie Izzard, I think, just cross dresses. Or he did anyway, but doesn't, like, is very straight, I think, right?
I don't know. You know, I don't know why he did that, but it worked. Whatever it is.
Unstoppable.
And it's obviously that he's got talent outside of that. But whatever it is, it worked. He did an amazing thing once where he ran around Europe. Did you ever see that documentary?
No.
My respect for him shot through the roof.
See, that annoyed me. I don't even know anything about it, but him doing that, like, it makes me feel lazy. And right away, I'm like, ugh.
You'd have to see it to understand what he did. Because it was incredibly impressive. It was, I guess it was on the UK on TV, and it didn't get on TV in America. You got to watch it on the internet. But he ran, like, every day. He ran a marathon.
What?
And he ran all around Europe. It's insane. What he did was insane.
He also does his act like an Arabic. He does his act in, like, a bunch of different languages.
Yeah, he's a bad motherfucker.
It might not be Arabic. I might be, like, totally
blind. Whatever he does it in, he's a bad motherfucker. That guy's amazing.
He's like Beyonce.
He ran around the fucking, I mean, he's not an athlete. This is the thing. He didn't do it when he was in shape. He did it when he was fat. He just did it. He just forced his body to do it. He finished a 1,100-mile marathon around Britain.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And
like a fake headline. I can't believe that.
Exactly.
Real. But so right away, you, like, just respect that? Because right away, what are you running from? What are you trying to escape from? And maybe that's my defense mechanism.
But no, I don't think he's escaping or running from anything. He did it all for charity, and he was he had a goal.
I'm a monster.
He set this goal in his mind,
yeah.
And he just decided to try to complete this goal. What was the charity, Jamie? Does it say?
Yeah, I think Sports Relief. I don't know. Eddie is finishing. I don't know.
I don't know.
He looks great there.
That might just be a website that sponsored it. There was some aspect of it was related to charity. Oh, his body transformed during the time he did it.
He
ran a 1,000 fucking miles. But, like, he had the most
great.
Horrendous blisters on his feet. I mean, his skin was torn apart on his feet just because his body was just so unused to this. I mean, that's something you try. Just trying to build up to running a marathon, just a marathon. That's a fucking
just
serious
a
physical undertaking.
I could
26
not do
mile
a
3K marathon
right now. I'd be like, whatever the charity, I couldn't do it.
This guy did 100 of them.
Jesus.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
It's,
I mean,
sad
how many?
That
how
I
many
never
is
heard
that?
Of that?
How many did he run? 30 or something like that?
43
marathons.
They didn't even put it on TV.
And were all of them a standard marathon rate of 26 miles? Is that what it is? That's a marathon, right?
Is that
26 miles?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Is that the YouTube video or like a website?
No, but there is a YouTube video of it. You could watch the whole thing every step of the way. And there was parts of it where he was running really, 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 really slow. But he did not fucking quit. It's incredible. Like, you know, you just look at this guy pushing himself. His knees are falling apart. His feet's falling apart. And he just gets up there and he just fucking keeps running.
I just think I can't help it. I'm like, what's he running from?
But why is he running from something if he's trying to accomplish something?
Well, because I'm projecting. I'm like, why would I do that?
Right. Like, you don't want to date anybody that shows up at the gym at 6 a.m. Like, come on.
No, I think being motivated and wanting to take care of yourself is one thing. But then I think something that insane, I mean, if it's to raise money for charity, like,
mm-hmm.
Why don't you do stand-up? And they'll put that on TV in America because
he set a goal to see if he could pull it off.
I think we have to agree to disagree because, like, I don't think it's cool. And I like him, and, like, I think he's really funny, and so I feel bad if
no, look, you've got a point. You've got a point. I mean, why not just ask people to donate the money or donate the money yourself? Or you got a point.
No, but I mean, but not like, I mean, of course, then why even have a fundraiser? But I'm just saying to do that, I don't know. I know zero about it except what you just told me, but it, right away, that's what I think. But I'm
well,
also a
here's
jerk.
Here's another optimistic way of looking at it, or positive way of looking at it. He's also on top of what he's doing. He's inspiring people.
Because not me.
What he did is an incredible accomplishment. Yeah. Running 1,100 miles or whatever.
What
the
did
fuck
it inspire you to do? What did you?
It didn't
do?
Inspire me to do anything. It inspired a
donate?
Great feeling in me.
Really?
I don't even know what is fucking. I don't even know what the charity is.
You just thought told like you. That's amazing. Well, you just appreciate humans like doing amazing shit, and I just am like. Yeah. Like every year the marathon. No, but I really like going down to the marathon in New York and like rooting. So like uh-huh. Everyone's so excited, it's like really emotional. But I'm like, you know.
Do you give a shit about the Olympics when the Olympics come around?
I not the Winter Olympics. I just cannot give a shit about the Winter Olympics. But I like gymnastics. I get into some Olympics.
You know what's the biggest tragedy in all sports is that the Olympics that they don't pay the athletes.
Oh, I thought it was like.
Stupid amounts
Nancy
of money.
Kerrigan being
no,
beat.
Those are professional athletes. You know, the idea that they're amateur athletes is fucking preposterous. The amount of revenue that gets generated by their athletic performances is fucking staggering.
Wait, because it's so much?
Yes, it's an incredible amount of
but
money.
But only a couple of them, right?
It's an incredible amount of money that the Olympics itself generates.
Oh,
the Olympics
oh, and that
itself.
They get, okay.
When people are watching the Olympics, yeah. There's fucking millions of people around the world, untold yeah. Millions watching at the same time, and the advertising revenue is stupendous. I mean, they must make unbelievable amounts of money.
Right.
It costs a lot of money to put it on. It's not a free event, but the amount of profit that's generated by the Olympics must be fucking phenomenal. Totally. Yeah, it's an excellent opportunity for young athletes. You know, it'd be more excellent. Pay them, bitch.
That's so true.
Give them some fucking money.
These little
not
girls,
a little money either. A shit ton of money.
They throw away their entire childhoods, and then like one of them makes a lot of money, and like there's like a dozen girls never getting their period.
There should be some.
So you could watch them for a week.
There should be some sort of scale, you know, where a certain amount of accomplishment leads to a certain amount of revenue.
Yeah, yeah, because that's the thing. When you're younger, you're like. Oh, if you make it to the Olympics, you're just rich. Like, I thought it was, like, Hunger Games, and you were, like, a victor. You just, like, win so much money.
Right.
But really, it's like, wow. Even ballerinas, I'm like, oh, my God, only, like, a handful of you make it where you can make a bunch of money, and still you're just beating your body to a pulp. But then a lot of them, like, never even get there and make no money.
A lot of them, right? Like, what's the number?
I don't know. I talked to a ballerina last season of my show, and she said, like, if you're starring in a ballet, if you're, like, the New York ballerina, you make, like, I think under 500 a year.
How much do Olympic athletes...
And that's
athletes,
the best ballerina. That's what... But this... I don't know how much this girl knew.
Do Olympic athletes actually make some money? Okay, it does say they do... This is the actual numbers. The Olympic Committee... Awards cash prizes to Olympians who win a medal. $25,000 for a gold, $15,000 for a silver, and $10,000 for a bronze. But the money is considered earned income abroad and subject to IRS taxation. So when you win an Olympic gold medal, you win $25,000. Which, hey,
so depressing.
That's a good wage if you're a fucking Burger King employee.
Yeah. That's horrible.
It's unbelievable.
So what's the hope that you're like the
famous.
One person that they're like, okay, now like Nike or somebody wants to.
Exactly.
That
you'll get sponsored.
Sucks.
You'll be sponsored by several different companies. You'll make some money off of that. And, you know, maybe you'll be able to do seminars and shit.
25
grand. You get the gold.
I talked to a model also. Like, I was like, what do models make? Like, are they just. But the ones at the very top of the game, of course, are making tons of money. But the like really beautiful chicks. That are working models make around that. Like, they make, like, maybe 50 grand a year from that.
See, that's
like, and
not what I've heard.
Really?
Because, yeah, my buddy's dating this chick who is a model, and he
like
tells
model
me,
in quotes, she's banging.
No, she's, like, a real model.
A real model.
Like,
okay.
She's done advertising campaigns, yeah. And she makes... Sometimes she makes $6,000 a day, $15,000 in a day. She's made as much as $25,000 in a day. Just
yeah.
Posing. She's not famous. She's young.
Yeah,
yeah, just stupid amounts of money.
Oh, well,
I think it varies. is what I'm trying to say.
But even like,
if you're on a big campaign, I think it varies.
I know only like three models, but they work and they've gotten a campaign here and there. They mm-hmm. are on the runway, and it sounds like once it's like a corporate. Like once in a while, they'll have a pretty good payday, but it's not consistent and. And it's not that much. It didn't sound like that much to me for being that hungry all the time.
Well, some of them, isn't it? It's just they can do it naturally. Like some of them don't have to struggle as much.
Like weight-wise?
They just have that body shape, that ectomorphic body shape.
Honestly, I've only talked to three models because it's not fun to be around them. But even if they're like naturally pretty thin, they still, before doing that stuff, had to do liquid stuff What's the thing where you shoot saline in your
what
in your butthole?
You shoot saline. Oh, that thing. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, an enema. They'd have to do like these something like enemas.
Oh, I thought it was like a treatment or something.
That thing you do before you make me do before
what?
The show.
Shut
I don't
up.
Think this place seems that clean. No.
It's clean. Trust me. It looks rustic.
No, I love doing his podcast, but he's always giving me enemas right before. It's so weird. I trust him.
I don't want you to have to shit in the middle of the broadcast and ruin what I know is going to be the best podcast ever.
All right, so I guess you're right.
Let's pull through this, Amy Schumer.
You're right.
Yeah. Enemas, where were we? Oh, models. What the fuck is it about anybody? Like, why would anybody get really hung up on the idea of incredibly skinny people wearing their clothes?
I don't know, but it looks good.
But what I've heard is that it's like a hanger. That's the idea, that you want them almost built like a hanger.
Well, I just had a fitting today, and it was like with someone who knew what they were doing, which I haven't had that much of, you know?
Right.
And she told me that it's all about proportion. Because, like, a lot of people, they think that I'm, like, actually bigger than I am. Like, people, I'm a size 6. And people...
I don't know what that means.
Like, bigger than a 4, smaller than an 8.
Okay.
Anyway, but then, like, they've been, like... But on, like, there's some websites or whatever... Because you can, like, be like, what's her bra size or what's her size?
Oh, come on.
I mean,
really?
People will be like, yeah. I think there's, like, websites that say I'm, like, a 12 or something, but whatever. But anyway, it's all about proportion and not really about how big or small somebody actually is. But these models that, like, do the best, that the clothes look the best, it is like a hanger. They're, like, basically frail up here.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks – but all clothes look dope on them. But there's only, like, a very small amount of chicks that you can work with.
I think there's also a very different feeling that a woman has when she looks at another woman than a man has when he looks at a woman, as far as like what looks good and what doesn't look good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that girls do that other girls think look good. Like there's certain ways that they'll dress or certain things that they'll buy, purses and shit especially, that's really to impress other girls.
True.
Like you cannot impress a guy with a purse, but women are like really, some of them are like really into purses to impress each other with.
Yeah. I don't, like shoes, purses, jewelry, I know nothing.
Mm.
I don't have that. Like I'm missing that.
Good for you. That's probably why you're funny.
I'm just like, no, I can be like, oh, that girl like looks great, but I don't even aspire to try it because it seems so out of my range. But I can look at a girl and be like, wow, she's beautiful. But I'm not like, ooh, like I wonder what she looks like naked. You know, obviously because I'm not attracted to girls. I sound like I'm like defending myself, but it's so weird to me. But I understand it because I feel like when someone's really thin, like all the things that we want to do naturally, like eat and fuck and everything. We like celebrate people that are able to abstain the most from that. Like, she really knows how to starve herself or she's so just we sort of like celebrate people just keeping themselves from biology.
That's a big one for women, too. Right. The ability to abstain. It's very it's a badge of courage or something. It's like,
oh no,
it's admirable. It's nothing wrong. Well, why should you?
It's out of my wheelhouse.
The idea that we're supposed to is so crazy. The only problem with women is, of course, that there's so many guys that are pieces of shit. And the men are more dangerous in their physically in the pieces of shit that you run into.
Yeah.
Whereas women are more dangerous maybe financially in the pieces of shit that you run into.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, if a guy gets fucked over, usually guys get fucked over in a financial way, like divorces or they get set up. Right. Like I've seen guys get set up, and it's very disturbing.
Well, you I don't watch know a girl, any guy with any money. Like I seriously have never even dated a guy with
I've
like
met,
a dollar.
I've met guys where I watched them go down. I saw it happening. They were not attractive. They were uncomfortable with women, and they had all of a sudden this really hot girl with them who, like, slowly but surely stalks her way into this position and then bails with a ton of cash.
But then how, like, isn't that transparent? Don't these guys that are 80, aren't they curious, like, why this beautiful Kate Upton lookalike, like, is in love with them?
It's because they're
successful. I'm suspicious of any guy who's better looking than me that wants to sleep with me. I'm like, what? Why? Like, what do you think I can do for you?
Show you I'm not gay, Amy Schumer.
Don't you wonder? And I know a lot of, I know not a lot, but I know a handful of women that had guys take their money, because I think women are even more susceptible to, like, just wanting that love and being like, sure, joint checking, I'll buy a house in our name.
Well, I don't think it's mutually exclusive. I mean, you can get ripped off no matter what your sex is, what your sexual preference. I'm sure gay guys rip each other off and gay women rip each other off. As a matter of fact, I know they do.
I'm so, like,
I know a gay woman who has to pay alimony.
My great grandma was a bootlegger, and she was always like, her liquor store is still on 54th Street, Schumer's Liquors.
Wow. But 54th Street where?
In between Park and Lex, or really? Madison. Yeah, it's right across from Monkey Bar.
That is fucking awesome. Yeah. What a great story.
Yeah, but she was just pounding it into my head, like, because I think her husband tried to steal money from her, but she like put it away. She's always like, save your money.
Good for her.
Yeah.
You know, it can happen. I mean, you get with the wrong person, the wrong guy, the wrong girl, whatever. That can definitely happen.
But I think that
happens more with men. Men tend to be the ones who have more money in the relationships.
What do they make? 70?
I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, I'm not saying that women can't make money. Don't jump down my throat. I'm not saying you. I'm saying people out there on the internet.
I wish that I've ever dated a guy and anything really? For me to steal. Yeah, I make a good amount of money now, you know?
Now it's
so
tough.
It's weird. Like, yeah, because guys are just like, and I'm like,
you have to start dating athletes.
Pass.
Black ones too.
First of all, I cannot pretend to be interested
in what? Basketball?
In any. I like going to games, but I can't, like, I don't ever want to be like wearing a jersey and being like, they're going to win. I just don't want to do that.
Once they slip you that giant athlete dick.
Do you know I still haven't been with a black guy? Isn't that pathetic?
Like I said, once they
slip you.
Right,
maybe I'm scared I'll be under the trance.
Mm-hmm. You will. You'll be dancing. You'll change.
Oh my God.
You'll change. You'll start wearing beads and shit. And
I'll wear a jersey as a dress with a belt. Big hoop earrings.
You go hardcore.
Yeah. I'm on a VH1 reality show, like, fighting with other chicks.
No, you'll avoid that. You'll be fine.
I don't think so.
You're not going to change your personality entirely. You're just going to crave the black dick.
No, you know, I had one encounter with a huge dick, and I talked about it on my my last special. I tapped out. I was like, no way.
Well, maybe the dude didn't know how to use it. He was assaulting you with it.
I mean, how many ways are there to use it?
Listen,
I
don't even think about it.
Really?
I got one.
When it's that big, like, what are you supposed to do? You just have to, like,
stretch out your vagina. Hope.
Yeah, I was like, we're not going to have a life together. I'm not going to power through this.
Well, how about powering through? How about you change your shape? How about stretches out? Just like when a woman has children, her breasts stretch out and then deflate. Imagine?
No.
If you're having sex with that guy on a regular, plus he's a super athlete, he's probably constantly horny.
Oh my God. No. Are athletes known as being more horny?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Maybe I should.
Without
do
a
that.
Doubt. For real? You kidding me? I would imagine.
I'm never in a relationship where it's like I have the same sexual appetite as the guy I'm dating. It's either like they are like wanting it too much or it's me wanting it too much. Like I've never really had it even out. Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's been like.
Yeah.
That's good. That's encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely happens. I think it's way harder for a chick. I mean, I'm just guessing.
I know it
obviously,
is.
Obviously.
I think so, because it's way harder. If, but I don't know. If your girl is like, no, not tonight, does it, like, hurt your feelings? Are you like, what's wrong with me? Or you're just like,
No. Or someone tired. Doesn't want to or whatever, you know?
Yeah, but also you've been, you know, if you're with somebody for a long time, it's different. Also.
I don't think there's any reason why, you know, two people can't figure out that they're not sexually compatible. And if you start dating each other and you get to a point where you're like spending a lot of time together and then you hit those that thing. Like, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, okay. We gotta figure out what's important here. Because there's a bunch of shit that's important here. The big important one is caring about each other and having a good time together. That's the number one,
being
right?
Being buddies.
That's number one.
Yeah.
But number two is you like to fuck each other. And if you don't put it at number two, what are you putting at number two?
Yeah.
What is there?
No,
what's number two?
No,
financial security,
right.
I mean, what is it? Coexisting interest?
No.
I have almost nothing co-interest with my wife. There's not one thing that she likes except a few TV shows and some art things and some, but her, all of her hobbies, like things that she enjoys, they're just her things. And then, you know, we hang out and we have fun together. Like, you don't have to have the same mutual desires or the same, you don't have to be into the same sports. Like, I've actually heard guys say that they would never date a girl that doesn't watch sports. Because the last thing you want is her complaining when you're watching sports. Fuck that. If she doesn't watch sports, I don't want to date him.
Yeah. I have a scene on my show tomorrow night about that.
Oh,
I swear
really?
I'm not trying to work it in,
That's
but
awesome.
It's called Chick Who Can Hang. And I just want to tell you about it. But it's guys sitting around. They're like, I just want a girl. Like, oh, this girl,
that's hilarious.
Joey. She had like a lantern jaw. And like, really, you know, like, she does my fantasy pics. And then you realize, like, they're just describing dudes. Like, it's just, but I mean, I know girls that are real into sports, but but the difference is I don't care about sports at all, but I'm not like, and I don't want you to, like, I'm busy and I'm psyched to do my thing and I have my interests, and like, please do you.
I saw a tweet once where a girl said that girls who are into football get bigger diamonds. It was like one
relate.
Of those Twitter pictures, and like a bunch of people like retweeted it, and I think it was like a girl with like a sexy football outfit on or something, you know?
That's so awful, and I feel like that's like the image of, that's like what girls see. And even, I've been going because the NBA is like a big part of this movie that I'm going to do. And so
oh, shit, what did I say? Amy gonna get some black dick for the first time.
Shit, I don't even know if I was allowed to say that.
Oh, don't say it. It didn't happen.
But anyway.
Nobody remembers on the internet.
But anyway, like, you know, seeing these, just seeing the way women are represented on TV, like all these Real Housewives, like, just no one's doing, even if they're like, oh, we had like this luncheon for charity, like, good, whatever, good. The thing that's getting edited and what we're seeing is you guys being monsters. And like, this is, these shows, this is what girls are seeing. Like, I don't have any, I have no jewelry. Like, I don't know. The girls that I'm close to, no one cares about a handbag. No one gives a shit. But that's
incredible.
Not the girls
where
that you see
girls?
On television. They're
where
all comics.
Girls?
They're all like,
oh, see, they're all.
It's
they might
Rachel
as well be
Feinstein, Nikki Glaser. You know.
Yeah,
Peretti.
Well, you're all a bunch of artists. You're all trying to be comedians. If a comic like all of a sudden became incredibly obsessed with keeping like an upstanding or attractive appearance, that would like immediately preclude a lot of the comedy.
Yeah,
you know, because you wouldn't be relaxed at all. You'd be like such a you're inciting like a look, a way of someone looking at you like, look at her with her bag. That dress probably costs a lot of money.
I can't believe that people care about that stuff. And it's not that I think I'm better than that. It's honestly insane to me. It's insane to me that anybody would put value on, like, just that's, it's so transparent. Like, look, this is expensive. I think that's so crazy.
I think you're totally right, but let's play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
What if you are just really into beautifully crafted things, whether it's a watch or whether it's a car or whether it's a purse? Isn't it possible that it couldn't? That I see that a lot of people, I believe you're right, a lot of people, they're watching that stuff and they're looking at different people that have different things and they want to show off. They want to show everybody that they've got the purse that costs X or the shoes that cost Y or, oh my God, look at the size of the rock she's got.
Right.
There are certainly people that want do that. But isn't it possible that there's other people that could just enjoy a beautiful purse or enjoy a beautiful home?
I haven't seen that. I don't know anyone with really expensive stuff. So if someone was like, look at this watch, it costs 20 grand. Like, I've never seen that. And maybe I'd be like, wow, that's amazing. I'm about comfort and like, I like traveling. You know, I like my bed is expensive. Like, I like, you know, things that sort of lend themselves to experience. But I haven't seen, but you know what? If you have so much money and you're like, oh, I want to get this beautiful thing, I understand that. But I do know a lot of dudes that are like posting pictures of their possessions they got.
And, on like, Instagram?
Yeah, and I'm like, it makes me like, oh, come on. Like, you don't have to do that.
Well, some dudes have to.
But why? What is it? What does that mean?
Well, they don't have to. Of course, they don't.
But
have
it's rappers.
To.
It's like rappers are like, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you, obviously, I actually love hip hop, but that was the lyric I just went to. I've got this. Like, I don't. That's obviously not what they say. But it's, you know, it's like a lot of it is like about.
About how much you have.
Possessions.
Yeah, showing your shit off. Going on the Dub magazine cover with six cars and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. That's part of that culture.
So I think that's what that's where that comes from. And it's like mm-hmm. attached to just ego and just like alpha stuff.
Well, it's also a culture that's rebounding from periods of extreme slavery, extreme poverty. Like there's generation after generation of negative things, the racism, the riots, the civil rights movement, like all those things are so recent. It's yeah. hard for us to even wrap our heads.
I know, it's so recent. It's humiliating.
We're so white too.
No.
It's you know we don't feel it. But I have friends that are half black, half white. I have friends that are black. I've seen the differences in how people react to them, and it's fascinating to watch.
Yeah,
you know, like big dark black dudes get treated with fear everywhere they go. It's hilarious.
That really is upsetting. I never really paid that much attention to it because like a couple of my best friends growing up were black. Now they're white. No, they were black, and like I never really thought about it until like going on auditions because the sign in sheet would be like for the whatever Susan, and I sign in, and then it's like drug dealer, and then it's just like these black guys are coming in, they're like signing in, and I'm like, oh man, like this is just what society has done. They're like, this is how we see you. Like, these guys were great actors. It's like, these
listen,
are...
Listen, Amy,
what...
someone's got to play the drug dealer. Wouldn't you want to be a great actor? You want it to be some real drug dealer? What the fuck are you trying to say, you liberal bitch?
No, we had a... this last season on the show, we had a guy, he was a mugger. And in the scene, it was called Skip Therapy. And it's a really funny scene. It's like... and Kyle Dunnigan, the comic, is in it. And this guy, like, steals my bag. And we needed it to be a stunt guy. And so, but I forgot that. So the guy who came, he was this great stunt guy. His name's actually Muhammad Ali.
Wow, that's his actual
it
name?
It wasn't him, but that's his name. And he came and I was like, wow. I was like, we cast this black guy as the mugger? Like, are you serious? They were like, no, like, he's like really great at martial arts and stunts and stuff. And
well, the best is when you have a white mugger that doesn't look like a mugger at all.
Yeah, and you're like, ugh. Oh, God, I hate when shows do that. Was that on Seinfeld? Like, there's some shows where they're like, the guy steals the purse and you're like, oh, my God, never has this guy even run before.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I don't think we could ever even wrap our heads around what it would be like to be discriminated against solely basic, you know, just completely based on the way you look, and to have it feel like that's insurmountable. And then once you do make it and you know, but you get big, I could see all the braggadocious behavior being like exuberant.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, just, is that?
That's not a word. I made it up. Exuberant. But I mean, sounds good though. Jubilant.
But what
and exuberant.
Do you get? People look at me, like just getting on stage, you know, just like my first whatever, like 10 mm-hmm. years, I feel like it was like, it's like, ugh, this bitch. Like, I look like I'm going to be a dumb bitch. I know that. Like,
you're so crazy. You do not look dumb.
I
you
look like not, I'm going to be no, a dumb bitch. No, no, yes, no. I do.
Are you saying dumb bitch meaning just a woman? Or are you
like a dumb white?
You think you'd look
woman.
Dumb?
I think I look like I've like if I saw me in like a mall, I'd be like, ugh. Don't you ever like?
Oh my god, that's so funny.
I mean, like, well, people have known who you are for so long, but do you like? How did people like?
I look like a meathead for sure. You know,
yeah, if I just like passed you. I'd be like...
But I have a lot of meathead tendencies. It's like, it's a rational prejudice to think of me as a meathead. I mean, I'm a fucking cage fighting commentator, for God's sake.
Right. And I am a dumb bitch.
And I'm a dumb bitch, too. I consider myself a silly bitch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but the problem is that we have this idea that everyone's so different and then these people that are so different can't be friends. Like, I have friends that don't work out ever.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian is my friend. Brian has like just started working out after like 4 years. He started working out and he smokes cigarettes constantly.
When did he stop?
He's totally unhealthy. I mean, he just stops. Like, he's not like. Well, my point is, like, I'm not. Like, it's not like I can't hang out with other people that don't fucking lift weights and like to watch fighting. Like,
I don't
my
even
friends
think
are all
of
different.
You like that. I mean, like, I know you're in shape and whatever, but that's not. But I mean, I've also spoken to you, but I don't know if I just like walk past you.
I think it's just, it's easy to pigeonhole people.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of us that are a combination of things. And that's the people that are most fascinating to me. When I meet someone and I think that they're, you know, I prejudge for mm-hmm. whatever reason and think, oh, this person's probably this. And then it turns out that they're like a combination of things that I've never even met before.
Yeah.
Those are the greatest when you meet someone that doesn't fall in any category.
Yeah.
And you get to go, oh, I have misconceptions. And then, right. like, this person is just a unique individual, completely on their own little trip, and cool to see. And then that runs into your database, and now your spectrum sort of broadens a little bit. Your ideas. That's one of the things that I think one of the reasons why people get in, like, so many shit relationships, because their spectrum is, like, super narrow. They've only had like a narrow band of people and right. the type of experiences have been like really similar and negative over yeah. and over again.
But other than it just being a specific like type, you know, socioeconomic, that kind of stuff, don't you think it's just like those patterns that were set up just real early on, just from yeah. really young shit?
It definitely can be, for sure. You yeah. also get it from your parents, I think, plus and minus. Yeah. I think some people see their parents involved in like really negative relationships and they completely change their gears and they just reject it like from the jump.
Yeah.
And then they don't take any shit from anybody. They don't let anybody fucking turn them into a doormat.
Totally. And it's either or.
Yeah, it's either or sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I do that. I do the
either.
I do the former. Yeah.
Of course. That's where you're
I'm
comic.
Like, oh my God, you can't give me the love I need and you're a narcissist. I'm like, come here, come here, come here. I'm like,
yeah, comics, that's part of the whole reason why we became comics is because we had a hole.
Yeah.
We were trying to shove some funny in there, stuff up that hole.
Yep.
And anybody who doesn't have that hole, guess what?
Guess what?
You're not funny.
Fuck you. Go run 90 marathons. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I respect what you did, Eddie.
Yeah, I think it was only 46 too. Right?
Can we Let's establish? Not give him more credit than yeah. he's due.
I mean, anybody can do 46.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think you can't be a comic unless you're unbalanced. But yeah. I think somewhere along the line you can be balanced. At least I like to believe so, that you can balance it out.
You can.
Yeah, you can right the ship. You just got to figure out like what are your needs, like as far as like your psychological needs, and how do you yeah. meet those? How do you maintain a good psychological existence?
Like, yeah, I feel like I'm getting healthier.
Yeah,
I hope. But
do
I
do you feel like that because
yeah.
you're more successful, so you're more relaxed too. That's got to benefit you a bit.
I am more relaxed, but I'm just like less stressed by some yeah. things, but I am having like sort of more pressure on me, but I think it's just
right,
like
showbiz pressure.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's just like taking a step back and keeping the people close to you that will tell you like that was stupid or like you look
right.
like dog shit. Just people who keep it real. So I have like people I trust.
And you keep it real for yourself, too. I mean, you can tell you're constantly questioning things. And do you worry about that, though? Because that is an issue with a lot of people. People worry about becoming famous and then
yeah.
all of a sudden going cuckoo. Because we've kind of seen it.
Yeah, definitely. I do worry about – because you get so – like every day I feel like somebody like slaps you in the face. The way I started going out on the road was on the Last Comic Standing tour. And we had to do meet and greets after – every show. And sometimes it was like an arena. It would be like 3,000 people, however many would wait. And they voted for some people. So some would come over to me and be like, my husband likes you, but I don't. So I just like got used to, and it was like 40 cities or something. And I just got used to like this defense that's just like built into me now. So I'm like, I've been like trying to break down, forget my childhood insecurities, like what happened just the first times I went out on the road. So I'm afraid my defenses got so built up that I had to really like break them down so that I could sort of let the right ones in. But I am afraid that my defenses will get too strong because you'll see like really famous people that are like your idols or comics you love and you meet them and they're so disappointing because they're so withholding. And it's like, you're like, yeah, it's probably because they've been wronged by so many interactions, but you still can't let that happen to you. And so that is something that I am aware of. And I don't want to let happen to me because I am like, you know, afraid of somebody saying something or like hurting me or trying to take too much. And you know what I think about it with Louis C.K. When I first was interacting with him, he was like kind of standoffish with me, and he should have been because I'm sure I wanted something from him. You know, just being a newer comic, you see someone. And you know, at the clubs, like there's like, you just have this urgency as a mm-hmm. comic, like, and you don't know what to do. Like, no one can tell you, this is what you do to be a better comic. This is what you do to get work. Even if they tell you, just get on stage as much as possible. You like, can't hear it. So Louis being so, like, sort of guarded with me, he should have been. And now, like, we have a very nice rapport, and it's always good to see him, and we talk. And I kind of like resented him a little bit for being cold to me at first, but I'm like, he should have been, because I'm sure I didn't even know what I wanted from him, but I'm sure I wanted something from him. So right. I get it. But also, like you were saying before we were on the air, like, just, you know, somebody, people project stuff onto you if they have like an interaction that's less than satisfactory, but it's not about you. Like, you can't change how anybody feels about you. So, but I'm, whatever, my long rant, my point is just, like, I'm trying not to become an asshole and to give people the benefit of the doubt, at least. Like, I'll go into every interaction, like, hi. And then if they say something to me that shuts me down, then that's, you know, at least I went into it open.
Right. I feel what you're saying. And I think that that concern is a good thing to have. And it's cool that you're thinking like that, because we all need to learn from the people that we've seen that have disappointed us.
From the
people that we've seen that, you know, just for whatever reason, someone became a prick because they became famous.
Yeah.
And that's happened to a lot of comedians. I've seen it. And they stop being funny, too. There's another weird thing that happens. They get a little too famous, too much adulation, too much, you know, they have a sitcom or something like that. And then,
they want credit for, like, their new art they're doing. Like, look, I know I was funny at one point, but now I play the standing bass, and like, if you want to come see me, that's what you're going to get. And it's like,
who does that?
Well, I'm not, I mean, like, it's not the standing bass, but I'm just saying, I think, because I even will have those impulses, like, I don't want to be funny right now. Just, and you know, but you're like, but then I'm like, bitch, that's how people know you.
But wait a minute. But why don't, you need a podcast. That's what you need.
You always say that to me.
Amy Schumer, you need a goddamn podcast, because you could, first of all, you're really good at it. You're very smart. You're very articulate. You'd be fascinating at breaking things down. But all those misconceptions would go away if people got to listen to you talk. Then you wouldn't worry about if people knew you, because you would put it out there. So many times they would be like real clear.
But I'm not that worried about if people know me.
Right. But, well, okay, I see your point. You're not really worried that people know you, but your interactions,
like,
you're worried about your interactions with people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You just want to make sure that they're as good as possible.
I want to, like, know that I did my best, mm-hmm. and that I was open to having a nice interaction and making small talk and whatever. I don't know what I want.
But, you know, we're talking about, like, you were saying you worry about getting detached. You worry about becoming one of those people that's kind of, that gets goofy.
Yes.
One of the best ways to avoid that is having a podcast keeps
you, like, grounded.
100%. Because you get feedback all the time.
Yeah.
You constantly get updated and checked.
What's the feedback good for? I mean, and I'm on Twitter. I'm sorry. I know I'm on Twitter. And I do think you're right, though. But then I don't think it's good to reinforce negative feedback. Like, someone will, you know, write, you know, like, you're disgusting, and then you look and it's like, oh, they write to famous people all day.
Yeah, you just block them. You don't have to.
Right, you just block them. I just I would never reward like that.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, sometimes people will have valid opinions about what you're doing, whether it's stand up or whether it's a podcast or whether it's the fucking upright tuba or whatever you're doing. Everybody,
upright tuba.
Whatever it is,
really funny.
Everybody has. You know, they're going to have opinions. They're going to have opinions on everything you do.
Yeah.
But sometimes having those opinions, like, if they're mostly swinging to the right side, they're mostly swinging to the good side, it gives you sort of a frequency that you know that they appreciate it. You like tapped into this thing. Like, people love the Amy Schumer show. Boom. Inside Amy Schumer on Comedy Central. Now Amy has a blog. You know, hey, watch Amy do videos. I'm going to go do laundry. You know, like... you tap into a certain vibe when you get a certain amount of feedback.
I feel like as a comic, you know, there's that urge to communicate, which I have, but then there's also, I think, also as a girl, as a bunch of things, and I talk like very openly, and then some of that feedback, it makes you like, oh, should I not be sharing this much of myself? Because, but then you're like, I'm like, no, I've made a decision. Like, I'm going to live my life this way and try to make people laugh and maybe feel better.
Right.
But then, like, that sometimes that's met with where you're like, is it worth it? Because this is so hard sometimes. And I'm not just like scared of somebody saying something mean to me. Like, it's also people not respecting your boundaries. And, and it, you know, it's like a struggle, and it is like, you know, I do have to like kind of work and be aware of not becoming like real standoffish.
Right. Well, you're not really capable of filtering who knows you once you become famous. And that's a big difference between that and just being an ordinary person going about your day, especially an ordinary woman going about your day. Because so many men, like with women, take on an aggressive approach. It's almost like it's almost commonplace, right? The guy just aggressively comes up to girls and hits on them.
Women are just as aggressive, I find.
Sometimes, but it doesn't come with the physical threat that feels like with a man.
Right.
Like, if a chick's aggressive with me, I'm always like, oh, okay, it's a crazy bitch. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
But I go, oh my God, like, what if she follows me to my car?
That is true. You know? There is the added fun bonus of like, oh, this guy might try and
might try to rape you.
Me.
Yeah. I mean, that's less fearful. When you're a man, I mean, you're always could worry about someone doing something to you.
To be honest with you, it's a real bummer to know that you could be sexually assaulted.
I couldn't even. I mean, I can imagine, but I couldn't. You know, it's like I couldn't imagine. I also couldn't imagine being pregnant. There's a lot of things I could pretend to imagine, but I really can't imagine them.
I can't imagine not drinking for 9 months. I'm like, wow, that's my Eddie Izzard marathon. I'm like, what? I'm like, can you just have a press conference? I have a couple
Wait
questions.
A minute. You know,
like,
people drank while they were pregnant for years.
Sip?
And some of the greatest people that were ever created were created by people who drank.
My mom always says that she drank through all four pregnancies. But I only have two siblings. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I think you're allowed to have a little wine. I think like a small glass of wine is actually good for your body and it relaxes you. And
right,
it
but
really
I hear that.
You.
And then I would be like, how
baby
about a bottle?
Ambien?
This baby wants an Ambien.
This baby wants to get fucking fucked up. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm probably barren. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
I bet you're not. Find one of them black athletes when you're doing that show.
No
get some of that super
way.
Sperm.
I can't.
Squirt. You'll have twins. Before you even know it. Like, oh my
God. What if I what if a year from now you come back and I'm like,
yeah,
I've got twins. I've got little half black babies.
And you're like, the crazy thing is, all I did was jerk him off. It was nuts. He came over
I'm
my
like,
tits.
You did
the next
this.
Thing I know, I was pregnant. I mean, I was adamant. I don't want kids.
I take you to court for alimony.
They
like,
fucking you don't need any money. They ran through the lines in your crotch like fire ants. Just.
Oh my God.
The sperm just.
What
they're
is
different.
Sperm?
They move. They swim. They swim on land. They,
is
they're
this
fucking
the beginning
flopping
of an ad
around.
For On It?
Yeah. They're flopping around like those fish, those snake fish that come out. What are those snakehead fish that come out of water and they walk on the land until they find some new water?
Ursula from The Little Mermaid?
No, a real fish.
Oh,
God
sorry,
damn it.
Real
Have
fish.
You ever seen that?
I saw the movie Piranha in 3D. And I was,
did you really?
I didn't know it was going to be 3D, so I was like so psyched. When they gave us the glasses, I was like, what? It was like one of the best surprises of my whole life.
I used to have piranhas, allegedly.
What?
Yeah, I had a bunch of them. I used to feed them goldfish, allegedly. This is all fiction.
Is it illegal to
yes.
have?
Yes. Really? Many decades ago.
Why?
Back
why
in
is
the
it
dark
illegal?
Ages,
because they're
when it was
dangerous
legal.
Or what?
Yeah, whether you could send them into, if you were an asshole, you could put them in a lake somewhere and they'd go in the non-native waters and they would wreak havoc. And that's happened to a bunch of different fish species. I think the snakehead was one of them, actually. If it's not the snakehead, it's a different fish. There's a walking fish. Is that it?
Ew. Oh, my
yeah.
God. I don't need to see
invades
else to
New
be
York City.
We
people
were just
threw
about
them. Some people threw these fish in the pond that's in Central Park because they thought it was funny. And so now these things are living in the pond and just destroying everything.
No.
When I was there, I saw some fish, some big giant fish, attack something else in the water. Just this big froth of water. And then whatever it happened, you know, happened. It was like
in
probably.
In what water was it?
There's a pond in Central Park. You know that big pond?
Yeah.
In that water, there's some crazy ass fish.
This is in Central
See, this
Park.
Is, yeah, monster fish in Central Park. Does
Burnaby?
It attack? Does it attack anything or can you just see it? Oh, that's it right there. You barely could see it. Yeah, that's a snakehead fish.
Somebody just put it.
Those things
that
eat
pond.
Ducks. They'll eat anything.
Oh my God.
they're like super hardy too. Like you once you get them in an ecosystem, you have to essentially kill everything in that lake to get them all out.
What did they do? They just
they
fished?
Just wreak havoc, eat everything, and then become cannibals.
Ew! Oh, like I'm already so afraid.
Look at this.
All the
it
time.
Says if you see this fish and like this, see a terrifying fish with teeth in Central Park, kill it immediately. It's too late. The problem is these things are just shooting out eggs and sperm and breeding like crazy. This is like Predator. Like, remember that movie Predator?
Yeah.
Like, if Predator landed and just started killing all the people,
that's what it's like
for that thing. Like, that thing going into the pond in Central Park, it's like, woohoo, let the party begin.
That is such a bummer.
There's lions. A lion just got let into the fucking zebra cage at the zoo. That's what it's like.
Oh, I was like, that happened?
Well, it could happen. That's what's happening with this fish. It's just, that's what it's like. A super predator just got introduced into this humble ecosystem.
That's really depressing. We're about to film on that pond.
Well, you might watch murder behind you. Fish murder.
Oh, my God.
But the fish is like the worst thing you could ever see for a creationist. The fish walking on the ground and walking to the next pond. Because if you're a creationist and you see that, you go,
creationists do that all day, looking at everything?
Yes. With denial?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is one of the most preposterous things ever. Have you ever seen, one of these things walk?
No, I'm so grossed out seeing its mouth.
Fish walks.
Every time I come here, I leave upset because of the videos.
There's
last
a documentary
time I was here, you
from
showed
the Congo.
Me
the guy that got fucked by the horse? Did I show you that?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is nothing nearly as disturbing, but there's a video in the Congo where I think it's prehistoric fish eaten by dinosaur bird. That's what it says. There's this crazy bird called
amazing.
A shoebill, and the shoebill is like 5 feet tall with an enormous beak. Its beak is
where
like
is
a
it?
Giant
it's in the
Congo? Hatchet. Yeah. Its beak is like its beak rather is literally like an axe on its face. It's yeah. huge beak. And this bird is something out of another era.
Yeah.
Like there used to be birds like that were like 7 feet tall that lived in North America, and they don't fly. They just sort of run around and attack things. And they're predatory birds.
Then why is it a bird?
Like a penguin.
Oh,
penguins
don't
fly either.
And they're like, look, we're birds.
Yeah,
please,
we're birds, bitch.
Do not fuck with us. Did you see that dinosaur 3D movie that's available right now on Netflix?
I did not see it. Is it good?
It's really good.
Is
it's
that
my
little
first
kid
time.
Movie?
No, it's not. It's not animated, and there aren't that many dinosaurs in it. But it's
well,
really
is a
worth
different
it.
Thing. So
yeah,
this is not the dinosaur
What's it
movie.
Donald Sutherland. That's the dad. He narrates it, and it's like. It's really good. I obviously am psyched by 3D. But.
Oh, so it's a recreation of like what they looked like.
Yeah,
like,
and they like
modern
come
Jurassic
at your head.
Park style.
Yeah, and it ends like spoiler with a big. it's not a pterodactyl, but it kind of looks like an ostrich. Like it just looks like some sort of like prehistoric sort of evolving bird. That's like so awesome.
Ostrich is another good example of a bird that doesn't really fly. Right? They don't fly.
They don't do shit.
They fuck you up. They'll kick the shit out of you.
They fuck you. I saw that video.
They try to fuck people?
Why do I think I've talked about this in here before? I remember being real traumatized by seeing a guy laying there blindfolded and he doesn't know what's fucking him and it's an ostrich.
Well, that's not me.
You never saw that?
No.
Who would
have? By the time that happened, I'd already given up on watching people get fucked by animals. There was a certain time.
Don't say that, Joe.
I'll tell you right now. I'm done. There was a certain time a few years back where if you said, hey, here's a link, a guy's getting fucked by an ostrich.
You're clicking on it.
I would click it, but not today. Today
really?
I would be like,
wouldn't.
Again, whatever.
I want to call your bluff so bad.
You wouldn't call my bluff because honestly.
I don't know where it is.
I don't need. If it was something absolutely fantastic where no one had ever seen anything like it before, then I'll click on it. But I don't watch some dude get fucked by an animal.
No.
I'm done.
Pass.
D-U-N.
Done. Don't even try it.
Well, you something like that starts a fucking pinwheel in your head.
Yeah.
Starts spinning around.
How did this guy ever get
to that point? What did he start out as? He used to be a baby one time. What did his parents do to him? Was he sexually abused?
That's me watching any porn.
Yeah, well, that's a problem, right?
I mean, I'll power through it, but still.
Well, I always look at it and go, well, yeah, I'm going to fix him now.
Yeah. Too
Unless
late.
Unless it's with some dick.
God has a plan.
Yeah, you can't fix them, unfortunately. But that is exactly how you should feel if you're sort of a humane person.
Thank you.
You see them and you go, oh, these poor people, probably the victim.
And you don't call them.
Them? These poor people?
Yeah.
These? Can you call them these poor people?
Those people? Yeah.
Them, you know, them.
The people who fuck for money.
People who fuck for money. It's a weird thing that everybody watches that, but nobody admits to it.
They don't admit
to... don't like to admit to porn.
Really?
Watching it? Yeah.
I don't know anyone in my life that doesn't watch porn.
Wow, you hang out with different people than me.
Really?
I don't know a single dude who doesn't watch porn.
Oh, yeah.
But girls... You know a lot of girls who watch porn?
All my friends watch porn.
Your friends are all freaks.
But no, when I was younger, I was like, I did not like porn, like, at all. I remember I had a boyfriend, I was like 23 or 4, and I was like, I thought it was like cheating. And then I grew up. Mm. And then you're like, oh wait, this is awesome.
For a lot of guys, 23 is when that's the age cutoff. So they don't get to that new mature woman. They just find another girl's angry at porn.
Oh. No, I really like it.
I have friends that are like that, though. When a girl gets to, like, 23, they completely lose interest.
Yeah?
And they move on. Yeah.
No, you don't know girls that, like... Yeah, all my girlfriends... Again, they're all comedians, but...
I think that girl comedians are probably just a completely different animal.
I guess.
If I had to guess.
I don't know. I think they're a little wilder, crazier. No? I don't even think so. Yeah. I don't think so. I don't think I'm any wilder or crazier. I think I'm probably, like, pretty boring, but I, you know, like having sex. Like,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying that on the radio or a podcast.
No, I don't know why it's like so.
Why is that a thing? I mean, everybody, it feels good. Like, why is it? Well, it's okay to always say you like massages.
People always ask me, like, in, you know, like, local press, mm-hmm. they're like, why do you talk about sex so much? And I'm like, it's the most interesting thing we do as people, I think. Like, why wouldn't I want to talk about? I think it's, like, really funny. Why, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that I think I'm probably having, like, pretty mundane sex compared to everybody else, pretty basic, but just, like, just hearing a girl, like, mention it just kind of makes people, like, why? This is just judging by doing, like, local press.
Right, well, you got to think about different people's, like, the jobs they have and the amount of restraint that's required to keep a job at an office where you're not allowed to talk about anything freaky for, like, 8 hours a day.
You're right. I haven't had, like, an office, even before stand-up, I was just, like, bartending.
Yeah, you're like Ari Shaffir, but you're a woman.
Thank you.
You're a comic, you know? Yeah. Like, your perceptions, like, why they would be upset at you for talking about sex or liking sex. Because to them, it's like a mind blower. Like, she talks about sex all the time. She just talks about liking it.
But it's not that I'm like, oh my God, like, I can't believe there's not something in my body right now. I mean, I feel like I have a totally normal sexual appetite. Totally normal. I think I probably watch porn like twice a week.
The controversy is just talking about it. Talking about a sexual appetite at all. That's the controversy.
But, like, that's so weird,
mm-hmm.
I think. Even I just, you know, did some shows on NPR. And, like, there, they act like they've never experienced penetration before. Like,
well, you remember what happened with Sarah Silverman when she did that TED Talk, and they completely censored her. They pulled it down.
But that was about, like, a kid being retarded.
TED Talk?
The TED Talk was not about sex.
Wasn't it just her act? I thought it was her act.
I thought it was, like, the joke, and I don't remember what the joke was.
Okay, well, let's find out. We should find out since we're talking about it. Sarah Silverman, TED Talk.
Yeah, I don't think it was sexual. I think it was, like, making that joke.
But she's so sexual.
Is she? I don't think of Sarah as super sexual.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Her act is very sexual. It's very dirty. It's hilarious.
Oh, she's hilarious. But
it's very... Ted versus Sarah Silverman fight turns really retarded.
Yes. That's what the cover is.
Okay. Known for her shock and insult humor, was invited to give a TED Talk. She subsequently trashed TED organizer Chris Anderson, who tweeted, "I know I shouldn't say this about one of my own speakers, but I thought Sarah Silverman was god-awful."
I can't believe he wrote that.
Yeah, he's a bitch.
I'm real disgusted.
The problem was that Silverman kept using the word retarded to fight Sarah Palin's recent rant about the word. The whole talk flew right over the TED crowd. So, wow. That is hilarious. Anderson deleted his tweet, but Silverman hit back today with her own, saying that kudos to Ted Chris for moving Ted an for making Ted an unsafe haven for all. You're a barnacle of mediocrity on Bill Gates' asshole.
That's awesome. I love
her. Oh my
God,
she crushed him.
Yeah.
You're a barnacle of mediocrity on Bill Gates' asshole.
That's so good.
Oh my God,
that's
that is beautiful.
That's Shakespeare.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Yeah. And then Steve Case waded in, AOL founder Steve Case waded into the fight to defend Anderson. He tweeted, "Shame on you," to Silverman, adding, "The sad thing is you're not that funny." You lose. You lose just for saying that, stupid. It's sad thing. Shame on you. You lose. Unless you're being silly.
Right there, you lose.
Like, if you say something to me and I say, "Shame on you. Shame on you, Amy Schumer," or "How dare you, Amy Schumer," I'm joking. This guy is shame on you for real. So when you say shame on you for real,
You're out.
You lose.
You're out of the
game's
running.
Over. The sad thing is, you're not that funny. Oh no! What? Okay, you explain to me the whole barnacle on Bill Gates' asshole line. Then
that's
that
a
shit is hilarious. Line. The fuck out of here!
Do a
you're not
TED
that
talk
funny.
On why that's not funny. And
Silverman's response was, "You should be nicer to the last person on Earth with an AOL account." She got him too. Boom, bitch. The fight between Silverman and Case continued, but you get the picture. Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh my God,
good for
that's
her.
So funny.
Well, that happened when like they went after Salon.com, went after Patton Oswalt, and he crushed them.
It's just so arbitrary. There's just no, you have no control over what somebody picks up on what happens like that. I mean, of course, if you go on some rant where you're like saying racist shit, like that's ridiculous. But for comics, it's just so, it's just a slow news day. And they're like, this was a problem. People just like choose. Norton, after people were getting really mad at me about a joke I made about Steve-O and the Sheen roast, and Norton, he like stood up for me and was like, "Your selective outrage."
Was it Steve-O or the guy who died?
The joke was saying that we all
why couldn't have been
Steve-O? Yeah, that was the joke. They made the same joke about Geraldo with Anthony Jeselnik,
yeah,
but
it's a comic. You're allowed to do that. Comics are allowed to do
Steve-O's
that. Steve-O's
on the
comics.
Road.
Oh, I know. He's a comic.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Look, I know you're with me.
It's one of those things where you go, yikes. But hey, with comedy, it's always who's going to be the first person to make the yike. You know? And a lot of times...
I honestly didn't think it was
going
to be that much of a yike.
When a sweet-looking girl like you does it, it's like it got an extra impact.
I honestly didn't think that was going to be that big of a yikes.
Wow.
I wasn't going
I would definitely
think... I wasn't going for the headline on BuzzFeed, I swear.
I would definitely think it would be a yike. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck you were thinking.
Man, I swear, I was really surprised because it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal in the room. It was like, hitting hard, right? Like, I just didn't even think that was going to be a big deal, honestly.
I just think that's comics.
I think that I'm used to sitting around with those guys at the Cellar.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's fun.
It's how we communicate.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you where half of these guys who are my best friends grew up, but I'm ready with so many insults for them. If one of them walks back wearing a stupid jacket, I can't wait. Oh. I can't wait.
Norton is awesome with that, too. Everybody's
oh my
awesome
God.
With that.
Oh, Norton has crushed me so many times.
Norton talked about this funny story. He talked about on Opie and Anthony where he had a slice of pizza, and Louis C.K. saw him on the street, and he just slapped a slice of pizza to the ground and called him a faggot. Just for no reason. And he starts laughing when he's telling the story. And he's like, oh, it was a juicy pizza, too. It was a nice one.
So good. It's,
but
it's just so good.
You couldn't do that to another person. That, you know, they wouldn't appreciate the humor in the inappropriateness.
But it makes us so happy. The other night, we were just playing Keith Robinson's when he got eliminated from Star Search. We were playing it over and over again in front of him.
And by the way, don't think that you can come up to Amy Schumer and slap her fucking pizza down. That's not what we're saying.
No, you have to be a comedian.
You
have to be a friend.
You have to know each other, you son of a bitch.
You have to be a good friend. But that's so funny.
Yeah. It oftentimes.
Attell is the best. Attell. Did you see his special Road Work?
I heard it's awesome.
It's so funny. You can get it. But
I'm so happy that he's doing well again.
His show looks dope.
He's fucking hilarious.
I think he's the funniest guy.
He's fucking hilarious. I don't think there is a funniest guy alive, but he's one of my favorites, that's for sure.
Yeah. But I was sitting at the table with just sitting around with a bunch of female comics, and we were all like eating like dessert. It was like a really like sad moment. He just walks up, we're like, "Hey, Dave." He's like, "Oh, what are you guys having? No boyfriend a la mode?" And just like keeps walking. We were all just like,
"No boyfriend."
Like, do you know every bite of that like tiramisu was like the saddest?
Oh, that's so funny.
But it's just like,
"No boyfriend I'm alone."
And he just like, we're like, "Hey, Dave." He didn't even see us till he turned, and then just boom, fired at us and kept going. Just like
right off the cuff, boom. He's definitely one of the best joke writers out there.
Yeah.
Because he's got so much of his act is jokety joke 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 jokety joke joke joke. Yeah. You know.
So funny.
Yeah, he's hilarious. That Skanks for the Memories, one of my favorite CDs ever.
So good.
Yeah. It's a nice time to be a comedy fan.
Yeah.
A lot of good comics out there now. It's just a totally different experience than it was 20 years ago, I think. And I think a lot of it is probably because of the internet. Like, more people have an avenue, and there's just more demand for comedy.
But I even think, staying at some comedy condos on the road, they'll have, like, VHSs of old specials.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are pretty shitty. Like, it'll be, like, kind of topical. And there is that, like, off the cuff. Like, that movie Punchline, how it had Sally Field coming out at the end, kind of just, like, winging it and, like, it working out as a comic. That just set up a whole, I think, wave of people being like, maybe I'm amazing at comedy and I don't know it.
Well, that movie was so bad.
Oh, the stand-up in that movie was so
It was so obviously not real stand-up. It was like they were faking it and the audience reaction was fake. You can't do that. It doesn't work with stand-up. Like, you can fake being a fucking union boss and screaming at the fucking people in the yard.
Yeah.
But if there's an artificial feeling to that, it's not nearly as offensive as the artificial feeling of watching Tom Hanks kill it with nonsense.
That was so brutal. Like, he's just talking.
You could see, like, he probably could be a comic. I mean, he had good delivery, he had good setups.
Who's doing the Pryor movie? I don't know if they cast who's going to play Richard Pryor yet, but I was like,
wasn't it going to be Eddie Griffin at one point in time?
I don't know, but I hope it's a comic.
It has to be.
I don't know.
It would have to be. I mean, I would think it would have to, but even then, it's not going to work.
I know.
One guy pulled it off, ever.
What, playing Dustin a
Hoffman.
Comic?
Dustin Hoffman. You ever see Lenny?
No.
It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah?
It's fucking brilliant. Yeah. Did he
get ready for it? Did he go on the road or anything?
That's a really good question. I don't know what he did, but what he did do when he did the movie is get Lenny Bruce down to a fucking T.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I mean, it was one of the best performances of his career, and very few people know about it.
Yeah.
I mean, very few people outside of stand-ups even know who Lenny Bruce was.
Lenny Bruce or, like, Bill Hicks.
More people know who Bill Hicks is.
Yeah.
But Lenny Bruce is just sort of a name, you know, like a fucking Sid Caesar. You know what I mean? It's like one of those names you don't really ever see their work.
You've heard it, but yeah.
Red Buttons. Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
I heard of him. You don't sit around, unless you're like a real connoisseur.
Yeah. That's something I like to do on the road is go in record stores and listen to whatever comedy albums they have.
Oh, that's cool.
That's really fun. And first of all, it's like sad that I'm like, and then I'll do this today when I'm in a city. Like, there's a sadness to it. But that's, and it also keeps me up because I feel bad. Like,
but why is that sad?
I think being a stand-up is such like an isolating life. And so, but I like will be like, I'm look forward to like my couple things I like to do in cities. I don't know. I think everything about being a stand-up is like sad.
Really?
I think so.
Do you go on the road with other friends?
I have Mark Normand, who's hilarious, opens for me. Or I have my friend Bridget Everett. Actually, now she like closes for me. She's hilarious. She's a cabaret singer. But she gets
closes
naked.
For you?
Yeah. No one can follow her.
What does she do?
She does Montreal. She does she'll do like the nasty show, but she'll like have to close it because it's not stand up. She's a singer. She's like an amazing singer.
Is she the one who does that Hannibal Buress show?
She just did Hannibal's show with Method Man.
I keep saying Buress. It's Buress.
It's Buress, yeah.
I always do that. I've known it too for years.
I wish I bet you guys are funny together.
Yeah,
but yeah, Bridget
funny
is
funny dude. So I've seen her. I saw her. He showed me a video. He said she's incredible.
She's a killer. So at first, I just like want people to see her. She's the only like I do stand up on my show, and I'll do like an interview. And the only time I don't do an interview is if she's performing. She's in a band with Ad Rock.
Wow.
She's like such a badass. But I was like, I just need people to see her, Bridget Everett. And so she came on the road with me, and I was like, man, she's such a closer. But then I was like, I still want her to come out with me. So I just like would do an hour, and then I'd be like, that's the show, and I have a special guest. And I have her come out because I feel like she changes people's lives with how amazing she is as a performer.
Wow.
You laugh so hard, and it just, I don't know, it just like changes. And there's, yeah.
High praise.
Oh my God.
That's awesome. And you buddies in real life?
Yeah.
See, that makes the difference for me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you travel
like going
on
the road always travel with my friends.
Yeah. But don't you just have one person open for you? Or
sometimes two.
Oh, okay.
I've done two. So I've done three before.
Really?
Yeah. I've done three.
That would be really fun. We got to go out on a bus this time. And it was fun because my Mark Normand has been opening for me. And he's hilarious. Like, but Bridget, what she does, she goes out into the crowd. Like, it's such a physical thing.
Yeah, I've seen some of the videos.
But,
she sits on dudes' laps and sings to them and shit.
She'll motorboat anybody. She airplane. Like, her act is so killer. But it's been, like, so cool because, yeah, Mark started opening for me like 4 or 5 years ago.
So the answer is yes. You like to go on the road with your friends. So
yeah.
When you go on the road with your friends, doesn't it make it less sad because you're all just having a good time together?
No, yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah, but that's doesn't what I erase figured out the 10 years.
A long time ago. I figured that shit out way early. I took a pay cut way early to do that.
Right, because it's just too.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would even get grief about it. They would say, well, you know, it costs you this much to fire this person now, and that much to hire him, and, you know, you're making this much less. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, so what?
Well, no, I got my sister traveling with me, my brother-in-law. Like, we have a camp. Mm-hmm. We have a little camp, and that's why the road has been really sweet lately.
That's nice.
It's fun.
That's definitely a good thing.
Yeah.
It also, I find, like, I feel funnier when I'm hanging out with all my friends because we're all laughing at each other.
Right, and it keeps you down. Or, like, you're not going to be like, you get too serious.
Like, I'm doing Orlando on Thursday with Joey Diaz.
Nice.
Yeah, or Friday, actually. This Friday. We leave Thursday. But
It's
going to be some theater.
Yeah.
But we're just going to have so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I can't imagine not having fun hanging out with Diaz all day.
Totally.
You know, we're going to have a great time.
You're going to laugh. You'll laugh all day.
So the road is like home, you know, because Joey's family and we've been together. We've been friends for fucking forever now.
Then you go get dinner after.
Yeah. We'll have an activity.
Yeah.
Joey will go to the gym and tell me about his fucking jiu-jitsu class. Joey's going to jiu-jitsu now.
Really?
Yeah, he's doing kettlebell swings and shit. No, he's just trying to be healthy.
Yeah.
You know? Doing a little exercise.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's the most fun guy ever.
Yeah, we have fun on the road. The first time I did Orlando, when Mark opened for me, and we stayed at this hotel, and it had a water slide.
That's awesome.
I was like, oh my God. And it made me go do that club again, because I was like, well, they've got that water slide at that hotel.
Dude, water slide. There was a place in Phoenix where we used to do the Tempe Improv that had a water slide. It was fucking awesome.
Just like the so much reasons fun. You say yes. And comics, you know, you get in, you're like, oh God, that club is super weird, but the hotel's good. Like, they do a free hour of drinks. You're like, oh, okay, I guess
you know what else has a water slide? Is the Hard Rock in Florida.
In Hollywood, Florida?
Yes, in Hollywood, Florida. That me and Tate, my friend Tate, we went there. We had like a couple hours to kill before our flight, and we found out about the water slide.
You did the inner tube for
like,
two.
Fuck yeah. We water slided for like 2 hours before we had to leave.
Hell yeah.
It was so much fun. There were tunnels and shit. You go shooting out the bottom of a tunnel.
So good. We were there the second time we went back, and there was a family, and I guess they were Muslim. They were wearing burkinis.
Oh my God.
Do you know this?
That's real?
Yeah. They were all the girls were in burkini. It just, yeah. A bikini. But it's a burqa.
Okay.
Like a waterproof.
So their
burqa.
Face is covered or their whole body's covered?
It was their eyes were out.
Okay.
Or their face is out and everything else was covered.
Jamie, pull up burkini. Jesus Christ.
Boom.
I gotta see this. That
burkini.
Can't be real.
Yeah, and I was like,
oh
man, I want that. Like, why can't
Jesus Christ.
I would have gone on the water slide 10 more times than that.
That really literally freaks me out.
What? That chick looks so first of all, that chick does not look like the people that were at the water park with us.
But that freaks me out.
That chick's name is like Kelly.
Come on.
Look at these.
So insane.
Burkini.
That is insane. It's insane that.
They look so happy.
But you're being cute. But it's insane that that culture, like, it forces that. That's one of the most insane things in 2014.
That's
that
fear,
here we are.
Right? I mean, isn't that just fear?
I guess.
Women?
It's also a pattern. It's a religious pattern.
Yeah.
That religious pattern. One on the left, pow, pow, pow.
Hello.
The one on the right, now. Jesus, he ain't fixing that.
Yeah.
Poor girl.
I went to Dubai once for stand-up, and it was a real bummer.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
It's a bummer seeing people, and you know, they don't think it's a bummer because they're used to it.
Yeah.
It's a bummer for you, though, if you have freedom to dress however you want and you see something like that and you just go, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why only the women? Like, how come the men can wear shorts and you can wear whatever the fuck you want? Like, the what?
Right.
Can they, though? I don't know. I mean, a lot of the men wear religious garbs as well.
The Emiratis there could do whatever.
Whatever they want.
Whatever. Even some of the comics I was working with, it was like some of them could say things and some of them couldn't.
I feel terrible whenever I see any form of suppression. So when I see that,
that was the most disappointing. That was the worst thing, was seeing the way that they dealt with, like, the Filipino waitstaff. Just the people, because it's such a caste system there. It's forget about the women being that.
Yeah.
Shielded. It was like, that was the bummer.
Well, have you ever seen, there were some pieces that were done on some unscrupulous employees or employers, rather, that were taking these people from other countries. They were getting them from, like, a guy who'd be like a wrangler. And he would go to these other countries and tell these people that they were going to get a lot of money and tell these people that all these good things were going to happen. And then he would bring them over here to start working for these companies. And then they would take their passports away and leave them in these, like, subhuman conditions, yeah. These horrible conditions.
Did see that. Sleeping, like, head to toe in a room with 20
with
dudes.
With no dirt floors and holes in the ground to shit in, yeah. Like Vice did a piece on them, and you're like, this is incredible. I mean, it's not all establishments there,
right.
But the fact that it does happen and that the way it's set up, you know, I don't know who's responsible. I don't know if it's the people at the top or the people at the bottom that are hiring these people. Like, who's made the decision to force these people in this situation, take their passports away? I don't know who made those decisions.
And, like, I know, like, that's really awful, but, like, honestly, today I asked for decaf, and, like, the chick... I know there was caffeine in that.
You being funny?
Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you?
No, I just, like, it makes me, when I hear things like that, I think of, like, what's the dumbest thing today that I thought was important?
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the things that I'll be like, oh, this is foam? You call this foam, barista?
Fucking traffic on Santa Monica again.
Yeah, and you're like
Santa Monica
tweeting,
Boulevard,
like,
is bullshit.
The weatherman didn't say it was going to rain. And then you're like, oh, you had to sleep head to toe with people that don't bathe and you haven't seen your family in 10
years? Oh, great.
Years?
The stoplight is down. We have to figure out this intersection on our own.
When I called, they said they had my size. It really makes me feel like a monster.
Well, it's terrible when you really stop and consider how uneven the playing field is from birth. From birth to death in this world that we live in. Like, you can get the most awesome spot ever, like Amy Schumer, and be born in a nice city,
I had a bad childhood.
Oh,
like
you
else.
Had nothing.
You had I know, you're right. Actually, you're right. On dirt you're right. Floors. I wasn't born to a rape camp.
Yeah.
You're right.
You weren't born to some people in India that sold you to some government because they need your money that they're going to send back, so you're working in some kitchen somewhere.
Yeah.
Some other country.
I know.
They have your passport. You can never get home. Jesus fucking Christ.
I was complaining about having to learn how to make signature cocktails while I bartended.
You know, that's a real issue, the passport thing. They take their passport so they can't go back, which is just dark as fuck.
I know.
That is really dark. I mean, that's slavery. That's essentially like you're not... I mean, there's no dogs, there's no gates, there's no guys with guns.
There's no getting out, but don't slavery. Isn't the one thing you get, like, they let you send the saddest amount of money home? Like,
yeah, apparently. But who knows? I mean, who knows if that money even gets there? If you can't communicate with your friends back home or your family back home, I mean, how are you communicating with them? If you are communicating with them and it's free and uncensored, you'd be saying, get me the fuck out of here. Yeah. They have me. They're holding me hostage.
Like, but that's just the people that get taken. But there's also, that's going on where they didn't take their passport, but it's the only way that they can send money home. And it's voluntary, but it's all fucking
no,
awful.
No doubt. There's a bunch of different, you know, there's variables. There's a bunch of different variables when it comes to people that live, you know, if you are born in a third world country or a really poor village or really poor neighborhood somewhere, it's a fucking huge handicap.
Yeah.
Starting from there is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
I have a friend, his name is Justin Wren, and he's been on the podcast before. He used to be a UFC fighter, and then he went to the Congo and met these pygmies, and he's become obsessed with helping them and saving them. So he takes donations and he goes over there and builds wells for them and helps them and endures all sorts of personal tragedies with them. He's gotten sick. He's got some horrible, like, dengue fever. He almost died when he was over there. I mean, like, really horrible, horrible shit just to go over there and try to help these people just because he was over there and he just recognized. He had this feeling like, oh, my God, like, these people are so unhealthy and I can help. Like, I know I can help them.
Yeah.
So he just felt incredibly compelled to make that, like, his life's mission to try to help these people. It's a really... There's him right now. That's the pictures of him with all these pygmy people.
Aww.
It's an unbelievably touching story. He's like the sweetest guy ever.
Did he used to be a comic?
He was a fighter.
Oh, okay.
Fought in the UFC. He was a really, very tough guy.
Yeah.
Really, he was on the Ultimate Fighter. And he was going through all this shit, like bullshit, depression and, you know, and alcoholism and, you know, all the problems that a lot of people go through in this life, and found a new purpose when he went over and met these people.
Don't you feel susceptible to that?
Yeah, you can definitely get susceptible. Which part?
I mean, you personally, like, I could see you getting real into a specific cause, and but you like your family. So.
Well, I would definitely, I absolutely could see myself getting into a certain cause, something along those lines. But I just don't have the time to dedicate to go over to the Congo
and go, like, off the grid.
You know, right? But I appreciate and respect that he does.
Yeah.
You know, and I donate, and I think that donating to anything is a good cause. Donating to anything where you can, you know, change people's lives, like, directly. I think that's a good thing for you to do with your time. I think no matter what, if you can find something in life that enhances your perspective on the world because you've done something positive, that's a good thing. And I think that's really what I got out of what he did the most, is that it really truly enhanced his perspective of the world. He became, like, this really happy guy with, like, a real mission.
Yeah.
And he sees, like, a tangible result in all the care and help and aid that he gives these people. It's just cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Because it's so selfless.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful in that regard, you know? And I think anytime we see something like that, it elevates all of us as a species, you know. I mean, anytime you see someone who's so selfless like that, does something like super, super positive, it elevates us as a species, you know.
Yeah.
And that guy is just an awesome example of what a human being's capable of. It's cool.
Yeah.
And it's also a fascinating thing that this guy was, like, in the dumps, and his life was terrible until he started doing this, and now he's like this really driven, happy person. You see all those pictures, he's smiling and loves those people so much.
Why was his life in the dumps?
Just, you know, hard time. First of all, being a fighter is unbelievably difficult.
Yeah.
Very strenuous, very nerve-wracking. They're always nervous. They're always, you know, forcing themselves to get into unbelievable shape. You're constantly disciplined because you're doing strength and conditioning work. Then you go into a spar later that night, and then you wake up in the morning, you're going to hit mitts, and then later that night you're going to lift weights, and then the next day you're going to wrestle, and then at nighttime you're going to kickbox, and then it never ends. It just keeps going. There's never enough fucking hurdles to jump over. There's never enough kettlebells to lift. There's never enough mitts to punch. There's never enough bodies to spar with. You keep going, and you redline your body in a lot of ways. And a lot of guys get depressed just from that, just from overtraining. They get sick a lot. They're exhausted. But if you don't put yourself through that, then you get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
And that's even worse.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit involved in being a fighter. We think being a comic is hard. It's a joke.
No, I mean, I don't know any UFC fighters, but even just what wrestlers go through, I'm just like, man.
Well, that's unbelievably hard for your body, too, because
in a car accident.
All over and over and over again. Yeah. Jesus. Over and over and over again.
I've had some sets that I felt like that. Actually, in Orlando.
Well, you know, there's a lot of, for sure, there's a lot of bad feelings that come from bombing, and it's not good for you, and it's damaging. The issue about sports, though, or wrestling or anything along those lines, is that it sort of breaks your body down.
Yeah.
And then you got to live the last third of your life or half of your life with a body that's essentially wrecked from the first half.
Isn't it the same with ballerinas?
Some of them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if all of them get fucked up. Do they all get fucked up?
I don't know.
Like, what is the thing that goes wrong? What goes wrong?
Oh, like, you're just murdering your body, like, just the arthritis that sets in, and
standing on your toes.
Yeah, and if you don't actually ever get injured, which they all do, it's still just so hard on your body. Like, you can't, like, walk as long as you would.
You know what I heard? I heard they just fuck a lot and they blame the injuries on ballet.
Really, you're just such
dick.
A liar.
They just take a lot of dick.
Endless ballerina.
That's
dick.
What I heard. They just get a lot of ballet dick, like Baryshnikov dick.
I don't think
they
just
get fucked like crazy.
From who?
That guy from that movie.
That
Black
one guy
Swan.
Fucks all of those girls.
The director guy. He's always the guy. He's aloof with them.
Just
he
Natalie
plays games.
Portman.
He fucked the other girls too. Remember, he was, like, really mean, and he got them really insecure.
Yeah,
like, he pulls them in close, then he pushes them away. He plays those creepy games.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That guy did fuck everybody.
Fucked everybody.
In White Nights.
If he's a heterosexual and he's around all these insecure women and he has a power over them, like, he's the director, that dude just banging left and right, that dirty bastard. He's horrible. He's a terrible person. Might as well be drugging them, in my opinion.
It seems like what guys should do. Guys become comics to hook up with girls. It's stupid. Just Well, the one guy in ballet.
I don't know if guys become comics to hook up with girls, really? But they definitely become funny to make girls laugh at them. And then along the way, they look at their career options, and usually they're pretty fucking slim.
Yeah.
And stand-up looks incredibly attractive. And then along the way, they realize from doing shows that you could hook up with girls.
Yeah.
I think very few comics get into comedy going, I'm going to be really funny so I can hook up with girls.
Gosh.
I think it's sort of a consequence of, like, you know.
They just realized as they were... After they started. All the guys that I'm friends with are... I guess they just make it sound like that was a part of why they got into it.
Well, I think it's probably part of what makes them funny, for sure.
Yeah.
It was probably one of the only times I was ever funny before I was a comedian, was, like, talking to girls.
Yeah.
You know, or you're trying to impress them. It's probably one of the only times I was ever funny, like, making fun of things or mocking things.
Yeah.
And it was that or... locker room stuff with my friends. There's a lot of that. A lot of, like...
Oh, just, like, making each other laugh.
Well, I came from a weird place because I came from, I was a martial arts instructor.
Right.
And I was a competitor. And I did that. It was, like, the main focus of my life growing up. So I didn't have a normal upbringing in that sense. It was very abnormal. There was no partying. There was very little drinking or any of that, you know. Had a couple girlfriends that tolerated me for small periods of time, and then they'd eventually just get tired of me being crazy.
Poor girls. Just, like, going to your, like, martial arts shows, like, get that belt. Or, I don't know.
I don't think I ever brought one to a fight, an actual fight.
No.
Too much pressure. Yeah, I wouldn't want to watch them sit there in the audience watching me thinking about them watching me. Like, my sister came to see me fight once, and I remember it being a wreck. It's one thing I really appreciated about my parents. They never said, I am going to your fight. Like, you know, they would say, do you want us to go? I'd be like, fuck that. I'm like, no, don't go.
Oh, really?
No, I don't want them to see me hurting anybody and be upset at me. And I didn't want to see anybody hurting me and them being upset. And then the idea that I could get hurt in front of my mother was, like, extra pressure.
Yeah.
The idea that I would lose in front of my mother, that was also extra pressure.
Right.
Like, it's a very solitary pursuit, martial arts.
Did they ever watch you stand up?
Yes. They've seen me do stand up a bunch of times.
And you don't completely care?
No, not at all. Totally different thing.
Yeah.
You know, because the stand up is just fun. You know, it's
yeah.
It was bad at the beginning when I wasn't very good.
Right.
You know, I'd be like, fuck, I'm going to bomb in front of my parents.
Yeah.
But once I got good, it was pretty easy to have them there. It was fun. It's fun to have them there. Fighting is a totally different thing, though. It's just more creepy.
Yeah.
It's just too many things to manage. You know, you're more inside your head. So I wasn't really fun. I was rarely funny with girls, even. I was just rarely funny.
Really?
Yeah. I wasn't funny at all until I decided to become a comedian. I was more of, like, a questioning person than funny.
But you seem like, I think you would be funny just by accident. Like, didn't you just make people laugh?
Well, that's what happened was, the reason I got talked into doing stand-up in the first place was guys in the locker room. I would be doing impressions of each other. Like, I'd be doing impressions of my instructor having sex with one of the students, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Or other friends. You know, I would make fun of things.
Yeah.
But it was really rare. You know, but every now and then I would do, it wasn't like something I did every day.
But when you did it, everybody was like, oh my God.
Every now and then I would wait until they were good.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have something, something actually funny.
Wow. Yeah.
I wasn't like, it was a very quiet thing. Like martial arts, everybody was very friendly and everybody would go into the locker room. What's up? But we knew what we were going to do. We're going to go out there and we're going to kick each other and punch each other. It was a very nerve wracking thing to be like very close with people that beat you up. But
see, like, I know that fighting is totally different, but I do see a lot of parallels with stand up.
Yeah.
With that, because it's like, yeah, the people you're most threatened by, you feel the closest to.
In a way, yeah. Yeah. There's some similarities for sure.
I think there's some.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about just, and even like, I like watching, I always liked rap battles. Yeah, I mean, growing up, I just like was interested in them and I still like them. And I never made the connection that those were kind of like roast or like hanging out with comics to me. But it's like, of course, like even the Wu-Tang album in at the beginning of Method Man, of that song, it's like they're just trashing each other, saying what they're going to do. And I'm like, and I loved that growing up. And then I'm like, but I never even made that connection until like real recently. I'm like, oh yeah.
Well, battle rap is all about, you know, like coming out on top.
Yeah.
And everybody would come up with the most vicious, scathing shit you could say about a dude's mother.
And it had to be real
or
poetic.
Sister. Yeah, and make it rhyme. But how many times have you seen battle rap that ends in fisticuffs? There's a bunch of those videos online.
Right. That always looks like they're about to.
Yeah. They're saying some really nasty shit to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a way, yeah, I think that's probably a lot like stand-up. But stand-up, it's rare that we go head-to-head with each other like that. Like, it's only roasts where that kind of happens. And even then,
the guy sitting
can't respond for a while.
Yeah. But even if it's not, like, I know you and I both have heckler. People put videos of us dealing with hecklers online, and that feels like you're fighting training. Like, I think that stuff plays a part in just like your defense mechanisms, how you're set up, how you've been preparing for these moments you didn't even know you're going to have.
Sort of. It's also you recognize you have to handle something in real time, and you have to also be completely in the moment while you're handling it.
Yeah.
Because if you're directing a moment where X amount of people are in the audience. They all paid to see you, and some shit's going down in real time.
And you have to keep the control.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll slip, and you'll say something awkward, or you just say something that's just like forced or stupid. And
or too much, and the crowd's like, whoa,
Amy,
like, hey,
he's just a drunk. I mean, I've had some people swear that things were planted just because people are so ridiculous.
Right.
I had a guy, goddammit, I can't remember where. I want to say it was Milwaukee. But there was a guy that was so drunk that he came up to the side of the stage and he was literally falling over. And he reached up his hand like to shake my hand and then like was like blacking out. And I caught his hand. I was holding onto his wrist. I was literally keeping this guy standing.
Yeah.
Like he was that fucked up.
Right.
And the audience was howling. I'm like, I've never had to hold a guy up.
Oh,
like,
God.
How fucked up is this guy? Like, he stumbled out of his chair, came like lunging towards the stage to the point where I was wondering if he was handicapped.
Right.
I was wondering if he had like an issue with his muscles or something, some physical issue.
And that's really hard. That's when it's the hardest to deal with somebody. Like if you're like, wait.
Yes. This guy might have had something wrong with him on top of being fucked up.
Yeah.
But the fucked up thing, there's a video of it somewhere.
It's a video of me holding this
guy up so to show that it really is real.
People love it. They're like, because it's like this real moment. They're like,
well, so ridiculous. But I mean, those moments, like Amy Schumer's responsible for, you're responsible for, you know, in real time. Yeah, here's the guy. Like he's standing there.
Oh my God.
Do you have either one of those on you? Are you going back to your seat? If you pee your pants, we're going to know.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Amy Schumer's going to pee while this guy.
But I want to see that.
Go ahead. We'll play it.
Why are you holding on to me, man? Listen, that man represents the world. He's the roots of your tree. What you are right now is maybe the drunkest guy that's ever survived. We're gonna learn something just by watching you move. Dude, you need to sit the fuck down, cross-legged, and just close your eyes and think about the seventh grade, because there's no way you're gonna make it up those stairs. Clearly, you've made some mistakes in your life. Let's go back. Let's go back to grammar school. Let's go to seventh grade. Junior high, feeling good. In 2 years, you're going to be 14. That's when your brother got some sex. Are you really trying to walk? Why are you doing that? Get on your knees and your hands and crawl. Because you don't have the mentality of a human right now. That's why your mind doesn't want to do that. If you crawled like a baby, you'd be fine. That's that guy, folks. That's that guy. Who's his buddy? With him? Are you with him? Is that your friend? Who's right there? You folks look sensible. You fairly sober. Is this man traveling solo? Is he crazy? How can you drink that much and stay alive? This little guy didn't have any idea that I was grabbing him and holding on to him. He's like, what's going on here? Being lifted from the sky. What's up here? He didn't even look at me. It's like, well, and then there's that happening over there. Look, and what that is, like he's gonna look up and there's a fucking goblin holding on to him. I don't want to see it. Wouldn't you love to just see through that guy's eyes right now as he slowly makes it to that toilet? There's those moments, man, when you can put your forehead on the white porcelain and you're peeing and you're like, I gotta fix so many things about my life. That moment, staring into the abyss of that white porcelain, it just comes back to you with answers.
I think that's probably the end of it.
Somebody's fucked that guy.
I went on about this guy.
Somebody's not only fucked that guy, but called him on purpose so they could have sex with him. Where is he? Come on, get over here and fuck me. That's probably what he was thinking about while he was drinking. Too much pressure. Bitch is always looking for dick. We're messy.
I completely forgot about that dude. I totally forgot about that whole exchange, about how long it went on. But the guy was so drunk that I was holding him up, and he didn't even look up at me. He was so drunk, he was just like letting me hold him up, and he was just sort of looking around at the crowd, trying to figure out why.
That's when you're like, what? Where's the security of this venue? Like, who's serving this
guy? No. They handled it right away. Oh. Like, you could see right here, while this guy is stumbling, this guy comes over, the security comes over and grabs him, and they cart him off, and then I start talking about that guy's like the roots of your tree. He represents life. Let him hold you up. And the guy walked the dude towards the back of the room, and then they...
Oh, man, you talked him through it.
Well, I had to. I mean, I had to talk about it. It was just so ridiculous. Yeah. I'd never seen a guy that drunk. There was no way he was talking. He could barely move his body right. He was just making noises with his mouth that didn't represent words. Like, you could see that he was trying to speak English, but he was so drunk he couldn't talk at all.
Yeah. And then you're like, this guy's a victim.
Start wondering what happened. Yeah. How to go wrong.
Right. That's what happens to me too. And then sometimes, like, you know, if people like keep firing at me, I'm like, don't, because I will pinpoint what happened.
It's not good for either one of us.
No, the crowd's like, oh.
Even if you win, you're going to feel bad later. Totally. You're going to be like, ooh, did I go too far?
You learned that lesson, you know? You learned that lesson. Then you're like, I know if I say one more thing, I will regret it for the rest of my life. So.
Well, then sometimes it's funny when you go too far and you go, all right, I went too far.
Yeah. You're like, whoops. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah. It's all like, if you actually get angry, that's the dent. That's the thing.
Yeah.
If you actually get angry.
But because nobody wants to see that. But no. I learned from when I was opening for Norton and Attell on the road, because people would yell shit at them and they wouldn't fire back. It was never like they were being attacked. They would just defuse.
Right.
So I try to do that now. But then if somebody keeps coming at them, they will go to town.
Yeah, there's a difference between someone having fun and someone that's like fucking it all up.
Yeah.
You know, at the risk of encouraging this, because I'm not encouraging this, but when I was in New York, this guy yelled out something that was fucking hilarious.
Oh, no.
It was, I was talking about I was trying to figure out who the most famous woman in the world was. I was setting up this bit.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, your mom.
I got you there.
For the wrong reasons. Just for childish, I'm 12 reasons, I started laughing. It was just the perfect timing.
That's really fun. Yeah. Because it's like, first of all, that is not true. Your mom is not the most famous woman.
But it doesn't matter.
No, I know. Like, that's maybe why your mother, it's so funny. That's
who makes the best cheeseburgers? Maybe your mom?
Yeah. It's like, you got me.
Who sucked the most dick? Stuff. Probably your mom.
You're like, shit.
Like, somewhere along the line throughout history, there's got to be a woman who has sucked the most dicks ever. There's a world record holder. They probably don't keep
it
officially.
Yeah.
It's not a video. It's probably done. It's on a cave somewhere, carved into the rocks. It was probably an old record that nobody ever even came close
to
touching.
Like, with little dick chalk marks that people are going to find. Like, what a prisoner. They're going to find that in your kettlebells and be like, wow, what was going on with this society?
When a prisoner's calculating how many days till they get out, till they get released, they make those fives on the wall, four straight ones and then one across. You go over to her door of death, and it's just
it's just dicks. Just endless dicks in the cave.
Hmm. And right by the cave door, right in how many dicks she sucks. It's hard to get, you know, if you have a limp, it's tough to get some buffalo. You got to do what you got to do.
Wait,
but imagine, my point is, imagine if that's your mom.
I've never had somebody heckle that good. But.
Yeah, that's a good heckle.
That's a good one.
But it was only in the moment it was good. If it was another moment, it could be bad.
No,
you know,
don't yell anything out. It shows. Please,
yeah, don't.
Don't do
and
it.
It just, it worked that time.
But I like talking
sometimes
to the crowd. If I instigate, then let's talk. I love talking to the crowd. But if
do you ever do a Q&A?
Yeah.
You know what you should do? There's a thing that they're doing in L.A. It's a podcast called Thunder Pussy.
Yeah.
And Thunder Pussy is you don't go on stage with any material at all, zero material, and the audience yells out suggestions.
Whose show is that? Is that Ari's? No.
No, it's Red Band. Red Band and
Jeremiah Watkins.
Sorry, Jeremiah. I spaced on his name. Jeremiah Watkins, very funny young kid. And he and Brian have this podcast where they have guys go up there and they do that. They do everything is completely off the cuff. You do everything with the audience.
But isn't it better to do the stuff that you know works?
Sometimes, but as an artistic exercise, it's a great exercise in creativity.
Well,
you come up with bits, and then they become actual bits. You come up with bits when someone yells out something, and you have a suggestion, and then you try to work it out.
Or you can
several
write.
Times.
No, just kidding.
Several times I've come up with actual real bits from that have become real bits.
I try to make myself do at least a couple new things on every night on stage.
That's good.
Yeah, but I mean it's hard.
Oh, it's definitely
the
hard.
Crowd will, they can sense it.
But that's one of the things that's amazing about this Thunder Pussy idea is because you're doing an hour.
And it's an hour?
Yeah. Well, me, I did an hour.
You did an hour of completely. But
I did 1 hour once and an hour 10 another time.
How much time did you get out of that in the long run for your
10
set?
Minutes out of two sets.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Two sets is 10 whole minutes.
Yeah,
so, you know, a lot of it gets tossed out. A lot of it's in the moment. A lot of it is not applicable. Or maybe it is someday once I hash it out.
Festival in Scotland?
Edinburgh?
Yeah. People that do that, they say, you know, you're there for a month and you have to do a different hour every night.
What?
That's what some comics say that they go and they do that.
Oh, my God.
And then you get so much time out of it.
Didn't Marin, or is it Melbourne? One of those, Marin has a fantastic story about going over to some festival and bombing horrifically.
That's probably Melbourne.
I think it's a great story, though. It's really good at telling it because it's really early on in his career and just the whole thing was just wrong. You know, that wrong vibe thing where you get caught up in the wrong. Ooh. And if you start off a week bombing.
That totally brings up so many feelings right away.
You never recover.
No.
That feeling when you start off Thursday night eating shit on stage.
All the blood is in your head. You're like, how am I even still standing here when all the blood's in my head?
And you can't even believe they're going to let you go up on Friday, but it's just because they couldn't find a substitute for you. And you're like, oh my God, here we go.
You start seeing spots. it's such a bad feeling.
I had two sets at this one place in Connecticut. The first set I had was great.
Yeah.
It was really fun. It was easy. It was fun. The second set I had, it was awful. I was terrible.
Hartford?
I just bombed. No, it wasn't even Hartford. It was some bar gig in Connecticut.
Oh,
but it was just early on in my career. And it was just, I had another one after that went well. But everyone gave me the stink eye.
The manager gave me the stink eye.
They were friends. Couldn't believe that I did well this time compared to the last time. They wanted to keep bringing up the last time. Even though I had a good set, they kept wanting to bring up the last time when I ate shit up there. I'm like, I know.
I
didn't do it on purpose.
I was the one feeling it.
God.
I bombed so bad. I don't think I ever told this here, but at the Schaumburg Improv, which they call the Chicago Improv.
I know where that place
ludicrous.
Is.
Ludicrous.
It's an hour away from Chicago.
It's 40 miles from Chicago. It's an hour if you're lucky. But anyway, I went there and I was opening for Tammy Pescatelli and I went out there and I did the and I was used to, I was in the middle of doing Last Comic, so I've been dealing with all paid audiences. So I was like, I think I'm a killer now. And I went out there. I mean, vomit 20 minutes of just zero, where I was I almost said, is this thing on? It was that bad. And so it was my second night, and I'm 10 minutes into my 20 and I'm dying, and Tammy comes on stage and takes the mic out of my hand, and I'm like, what? You know, and I'm always ready to say something, I'm a wise ass. I couldn't believe it. She goes, Amy, and she's like, everyone, I'm really sorry, but there's been a bomb threat. And I'm like, this is what she says when someone's bombing. This bitch, I cannot believe this. But it's in a strip mall. There was a bomb threat in the mall. So we all had to evacuate. And she wanted to be the one to tell them. And so we're all I was like, fucking thank God. You know, I was like, this is divine. But we're all filing out together. And I'm filing out with the crowd. And they're all talking about, like,
how bad you were.
Horrible I was.
Oh, my God.
And then just night after night, just taking it to the chin. Just, like, going out there and just eating it. So awful.
Yeah. A bomb threat while you're bombing is never, never good, though.
I don't know.
It's so ironic.
If I had like an app on my phone, like calling a friend, like just please, Buffalo in 5 minutes, okay? Please.
What was wrong? Was it you?
It was
it the audience?
Yeah.
What made you turn the corner as a comic?
Just, I think bombing so many times that you just don't care. And then once you don't care,
you become funny.
Yeah, because they're not worried. They trust you. And because I think my jokes were funny. It wasn't that my material got that much better.
You were just nervous up there.
I was just like, is this okay? Is this okay?
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is this funny? Oh, that wasn't funny? Okay, like, quick, let me get to this other thing. Is this fun? You know, just tap dancing through my set. And then it was like, oh, that made you upset? Well, let me say this thing that's 10 times worse than that last thing you got mad at. And I don't care. And then... Yeah, just being totally unapologetic. That. Yeah.
Like, do you think it's more difficult as a woman to do stand up?
No.
You don't?
I've had a very sweet path. Like I think I've worked really hard, and I think, I don't know what the quote is, but like opportunity plus preparation equals something.
Success.
Okay, thanks. I don't know, but it's like I have worked really hard,
right.
I think it's annoying. I think it's harder to be a woman. I think being a chick sucks, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Really? For real?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. It's awful.
What's awful about it?
Everything. You're like born with this invisible calendar counting down to your last fuckable day.
Wow.
You're valued by your appearance above all else, but at the same, you make less. You're taught that there's no. There's no ceiling to what you can do, no limit. And then you learn, yes, there is. And society wants only a specific thing from you. And even though you're programmed a different way, it's.
But aren't you like proof positive that that's not the case? Well, that's always going to be the case, right? But aren't you proof positive that there is no ceiling and that you can be successful with hard work and talent? I mean, that's what you've done, right?
I think.
You're way more talented than a lot of men I know.
Thank you.
But way more successful as well.
But the people that have seen those men and me perform would still tell me that I was their favorite female comedian they've ever seen perform. Like, it's a handicap. Like, you would say, would you say that? Like, you're my favorite black comedian I've ever seen. I think it's really weird.
Well, fuck them for that. But I've said that before. She's one of the funniest girls ever.
Yeah.
All time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, Roseanne Barr was on, and I was super conscious to not say that she's one of the funniest women of all time because I think she's one of the great ones.
Yeah.
I think if you had to pick like, you know, like a top 50 greatest comedian list ever, Roseanne Barr, in my opinion, is like, she was a real pioneer.
Yeah.
Because she had a very specific, unique style when she came out.
Yeah.
She was hard hitting and aggressive, and she didn't give a fuck if you liked her. Mm-hmm. She wasn't trying to look pretty. Shut up. You know, she just. And she shoved it down your throat, just knowing it was good and well-written stuff and performance and delivery. So, I could see how that would be annoying
and,
calling you the funniest.
But then also, like, just numbers. Like, how many female comics are headlining theaters on the road?
Right.
How many of them are in successful relationships? How many of them?
Christina Pazitsky, that's it.
Yeah. They sort of broke the rule. But Boss and Bonnie.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple exceptions.
Yeah.
But, you know, statistically, it's not looking good for the ladies.
And Voss and Bonnie is hilarious, too, because Bonnie's a smart one, and Voss is the, you know, the guy who's constantly the butt of the jokes.
And then Voss is there.
He's the butt of the jokes. Like, all of their podcasts, you know, it's like her shitting all over how dumb he is.
Yeah. But then it's like, you know, it's like I am successful as a comic right now. But then it's like, then there's also a price to be paid for that, for being a girl anyway.
Okay, but is it with everybody or is it with idiots? You know, and isn't the price that you pay when you're around idiots?
No, I mean,
good people, nice people.
I think it's most people still want a kind of. I think some people are grateful for the female comics that they they love. Like, right. I was grateful for my favorite comics were girls growing up and those comedic actresses, and I was really grateful for them. And so I hope that people will feel that way about me one day. But what the fuck am I talking about?
I'm just talking about the differences. We were just discussing the differences between men and female comics and how few female comics there are. And about when you look at the number of females that are headlining theaters, yeah. and that they were always your biggest influences and you're always big fans of these female comedians. That's what you're saying.
Such a good listener.
I'm very fascinated by the subject because, you know, I had a conversation once with Judy Gold about an interview that I did. Where we were talking about.
She's so funny.
She's very funny.
She's so good.
She's an animal too. She's a killer.
Oh my God.
She's so good. But she's also, you know, she's smart and she's quick.
Yeah.
You know, if you fuck with her, she'll kill you. You know, she knows how to just shut things down, like especially a heckler.
Yeah.
Shuts them down.
But oh, I remember what I was going to say.
Well, please do say it then.
Oh, sorry. But I think a lot of people are probably pretty relieved when Judy and I leave the room.
What? Come on. No one who's worth a fuck.
I think you're right. And the people I'm close to and the people that I love and that I care about are into it. But
you know,
but I think still there's a lot of work to be done in the world with like the perception of what we want from women.
Maybe. I see what you're saying. I'm sure I would see it from a completely different perspective if I was you and I lived your experiences. My experience, though, with friends and people that I care about is, you know, I don't always agree with Jerry Seinfeld, but one thing that Jerry Seinfeld said that I really do agree with, someone was talking about diversity in comedy, and he was like, look, this is all I speak. It's funny. I want to know what's funny. Like, what I think is, if people are funny, if they're men, if they're women, if they're black, if they're white, he goes, I just like funny. And that's true because Chris Rock is one of his best friends. Was a dude who used to host MTV Half Hour Comedy Hour. Mario Joyner is a guy who's been his good friend forever.
Yeah, but I think that the conversation was with Colin Quinn when he was talking about why he had no women or black people in the first season of his writing in Cars with Comedians, and it's like funny is funny, but are you looking for what's fun? I don't think of, you know, do you have your hand on the pulse of, whose stand up are you going down to watch?
Who? Jerry Seinfeld?
Seinfeld. And I'm just, I'm saying that in general, like, you know, what's fun. And I think that's true. What's funny is funny. And like, I would never specify like, this is my favorite female comic. This is my favorite black comic. Like that's insane to me.
Right.
But I think people, what they are looking for, if they're like, I'm going to Google, comedians,
in cars getting coffee,
they're yeah. 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 Is that what it's called?
Yes. That's what it is. It's a talk show,
but
his show. Yeah. He does it. He interviews people like Larry David.
Right. So
he
I think that was his like conversation. Eddie Izzard. Him talking on Stern about Colin
Eddie,
saying that?
Well, he interviews people that he thinks are interesting. That's all it is. I mean, he just gets, like, David Letterman goes for a drive in his Volvo.
Right. Or, yeah. And then the second season he had Sarah on. Mm-hmm. He had women on because Colin was like, you're going to get a lot of shit for this.
But that's not why he did it.
I think
that's what he was saying when he said the interview. He's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
He goes, all I care about is funny.
I think you're like that. I think I'm like that.
You don't think he's like that?
No, I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. But what I'm saying is, I think that that's what he was talking about was Colin telling him, like, you can't just, like, have all
No, it was actually an interview. It was an interview where they were asking him in an interview.
It was Seinfeld talking on Stern.
No. Here it is. It's this guy. Here, I'll play it.
Most of the guests are mostly white males of 22 episodes.
Yeah,
that
let's
had.
Get into that.
No, but you
take a look over here, Peter. What do you see? A lot of whiteies. What's going on here? This really pisses me off. Really pisses me off.
Well, that's okay.
Go ahead.
But you made a comment on the Tina Fey episode that I thought was interesting that I'd like to get your thoughts on a little bit more. You said you were talking to her and you said something about the female comedians. It's a struggle for them to balance their feminine projections with their comedic goals.
Yes.
And in the context of comedy, not gender diverse, I just want to know what you meant by that.
Well, I was kind of curious what it's like to be a woman in comedy as opposed to a man. There is a little bit of a difference. And I thought that might be an interesting thing to discuss from her perspective. She's so successful at it. And I was just wondering how she looked at it, if she even thought about it. And she kind of gave me the answer, which is, yeah, you do have to think about that. But, you know, it's just another thing to think about.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let him go.
There were a lot of things about Comedians in Cars in the beginning. The first 10 I did, I think, were all white males. And people were writing all about that, which
that's part of the reason why I asked. People had tweeted at me when I said I'm interviewing with Jerry Seinfeld. Oh, okay, ask him about their gender diversity on the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's people think it's the census or something. I mean, this has got to represent the actual pie chart of America. Who cares? It's just funny, you know. Funny is the world that I live in. You're funny, I'm interested. You're not funny, I'm not interested. Okay. And I have no interest in gender or race or anything like that. But everyone else is kind of with their little calculating. Is this the exact right mix? You know, I think that's to me, it's anti-comedy. It's okay. Anti-comedy. It's more about, you know, PC nonsense than are you making us laugh or not?
Right, right.
He definitely also talked about that. What he just said on Stern, and referenced Colin saying that he was going to get a bunch of shit about that.
Oh, so he's talked about it a few times.
Yeah. But I think, I don't know. I mean,
you disagree with him.
I think I'm not going to disagree with the statement. What's funny is funny. I think what somebody thinks is fun. I don't think you should just have a woman or a person who's not white on. To not make people upset.
Right.
I don't think that's, you know, I have my own feelings about, like I have my stuff, my old stuff, what that triggers for me is going back to when I was young, like real young in school and being funny and having, but knowing and getting a reaction from people, like, just try to be like, nice and pretty, like that's what we want from you. Like, be a girl. Like, shut up. The boys are talking. We're funny, and knowing I was funnier.
Wait a minute. Why does that him saying that he doesn't believe in anything but funny trigger that in you?
Because I don't believe that he's aware or looking. I think that maybe he would be more likely to dismiss someone or not really pay that much attention to something other than what he's used to thinking is funny. Like it being like a white. If your favorite comedians, the people you want to have on the first season of your show, your first 10 episodes, are all one type. Then that's your type. And I don't think that you can say what's funny is funny, because there are plenty of comedians that go up there and kill. And I'm like, nothing, you know? And like Chris Rock, I think I said this on here last time, but he told me like, I'm like, how was his set? And he'll be like, he killed. I'm like, yeah, but how was it? And he's like, no, respect the kill. And like, I was just talking about this with Wanda Sykes. She was like, yeah, sometimes you can't. And I'm like, yeah, sometimes you can't. So it's like, okay, what's funny is funny. What makes a room full of people, you know, tears laughing, you can say, well, that's, they're laughing, it's funny. But to you, it's not funny. But it's not up to you. But I can't tell you what's funny and what's not. Like, I don't think anyone can say what's funny is funny, actually.
Because
it's subjective.
Right, but you say what's funny to you, and that is what's funny.
I mean, I think what's funny to him is who he chose to have on a show.
I totally understand that, but I don't understand why you connect it to like your personal feelings on
people
saying that you weren't.
Don't you connect everything to your personal feelings?
But saying that you weren't funny and you were a girl and that you were actually
funnier
than them.
They weren't saying I wasn't funny. They were saying like what...
Well, they wanted you to be quiet. They wanted you to be quiet, and they wanted the guys to be talking, and you were funnier than the guys.
Right, like me, like as a... person with a personality was like dismissed. Like, you're
right,
we will come get the girls like when we need them.
I understand you from you,
but why does
personally, but him, why does that, his statement had zero to do with gender or race? Wasn't
how can you say that has zero to do with gender or race?
Because he was saying very clearly he doesn't care as long as you're funny.
You can say you
that's
don't
what
care.
He cares.
You can make a statement what's funny is funny. I mean, like, that's so easy to say. Like, you just, that's such a, like, I don't care. You can just say, I don't care. What's funny is funny.
So you're accusing him of being dishonest?
No. I think that is absolutely confusing. What he means.
I'm so confused. I love you. I don't want to get into an argument with you about this.
I don't
I'm
at
really
all
confused.
Feel like we're in an argument.
Okay, good.
I want you to understand, too. What I'm saying is, I believe that he believes what he's saying.
You're saying he discriminates in some way because of his choices, and that his choices should reflect a broader range of human beings just to...
I don't think... I would never use like the word should with what Jerry Seinfeld mm-hmm. should be watching.
So tell me how his choices bring up in you this idea that somehow or another you're personally discriminated against.
Because I think to say what's funny is like, I don't think that's true because comedy is so subjective.
Right, but
like somebody
it is to him.
Right, but wait, let me like work through this.
Okay.
But that's the thing.
Right.
What's funny is funny to me. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't think he said that. I think he said what's funny is funny, not
he
what
said,
appeals.
He's interested. What this is? He said the language I speak is funny. All I'm interested in is if you're funny. That's what he said.
So, right. So saying that, but then also choosing 10 white male comics, for the first season of his show, he's saying like, sorry, if you guys were funnier, other races and white and women, then you would have been on the first season of my show. And I'm saying I don't think that he's seen. I don't think that he's as open to seeing people other than that prototype, and that is what connects me to my childhood stuff because. People are used to, this is who I'm used to being funny. People who look like this. People who do this. And so that's why I'm connecting it.
I understand what you're saying. I think you're adding a lot of extra stuff to what he's saying. And I think you're also not taking into consideration the idea that this is his individual creation, this idea of a web show, and that he has probably dozens and dozens of friends. If he's doing 10 episodes and he has dozens of the greatest comedians in the world, I don't think that it should be up to him to diversify his cast.
Neither do I.
So then what he said is essentially, I'm interested in, are people funny? If you're funny, that's what I'm interested in. To him, that's a true statement.
Yeah.
It may be very well subjective. You might think that some of those people are not funny, whereas, you know, there's people that think that a perfect example is Gilbert Gottfried. There's people that think that Gilbert Gottfried is the funniest dude to ever walk
every
the face
comedian,
of the earth.
Yeah.
Not every comedian. I know comedians.
No. What I'm saying is every
listen.
Comedian.
Okay.
You can say,
oh,
this guy's hilarious. Yes. And then someone else will say,
mm-hmm.
and I don't like it when I would never say any comedian's not funny. Like,
right.
just, not, oh, he's not funny. It's like, no, you don't think
right.
he's funny.
Exactly. It's so, like everything else. It's like music. It's like movies.
Yeah.
It's like anything else.
I don't think Seinfeld should have done anything different. And I don't think that he should have to. I think he wants to make the show. He should make it with the people he
okay.
wants. Just like Girls, that show got a bunch of shit for just having white people on. Like, let them make the show that they want.
Right.
But I'm allowed to, that's allowed to trigger something in me that I can feel like his choice to not do that, even though he has every right, and I think you should make the show you want to make, that does trigger something in me. I don't. It's not that
when
I
you
wasn't
analyze
on that
it
show.
Though, do you feel it's fair? Does it make sense objectively when you analyze your feelings inside of you?
No.
Okay, so you don't validate them. You don't try to justify them. They're just in there.
I
and
understand
you're just accepting
them.
The fact
I have
that they
a right
triggered.
To my feelings about it. But I don't think they're right or wrong.
Okay.
And I think all day long we're triggered by people or interactions. It's like why you yell at a bank teller. It's like,
do
wait,
you
why
yell at
did
bank
I?
Tellers?
I don't go to a bank. I have a business manager. But you know what I mean? It's like, you
yes.
know, somebody triggers something in mm-hmm. you and it brings up old stuff. And I think Seinfeld's so funny. I really like him. I see him when I'm at the Cellar. And seeing that, hearing him talk about it on Stern, it brings up, it does bring that up for me. And I don't think. That and I understand why it doesn't make sense to you.
Well,
you know?
I'm not saying that it doesn't make sense. Your feelings absolutely make sense. You know, we might disagree with whether or not it's valid, but you seem to think that it's not even valid, that it's just reality. And just these are feelings that are brought up, and these are your feelings, and you don't justify them or rationalize them in any way. You're just honest about them.
I think it makes perfect sense for why that would trigger that in me.
Right, but as long as you don't hold him responsible for that.
I don't think he should do anything different.
Some people do, though. Well, that's good. You have a very healthy attitude about it.
I mean,
it.
I really don't. I think what's saying, like, what's funny is funny is, I think that statement should, and maybe it did, and I just didn't catch it, but it should include what's funny to me is funny to me. Because saying what's funny is funny.
I think that was implied. You know, he's saying I'm interested in what's funny. That's what I
speak.
I don't
know. Some people speak with, like, a lot of authority about a lot of things. I don't know. I've never heard him say this, but I think some people can act like they are the decider of what's funny and what's not. And mm-hmm. I've had a great reaction. Like, I feel very lucky, and, like, work has paid off, and people come to see me,
mm-hmm.
and I make people laugh, I think. But if someone's like, I don't like your stand-up, I'm like, sure. If they're like, you're not funny, I'm like, no, that's not true.
Right. Okay. I get all that personal shit, but I think you might be applying it in this situation in a way that's like you're adding a bunch of stuff to what he said. You know, I really think you have to
take
into consideration.
What did I add to what he said?
Well, this the feelings, like this connecting it to him saying that, you know, or him being some sort of an arbiter of what's funny.
You know what I should add into the mix here?
You're PMSing?
No. But drugs. Again, that is something that nature creates. That's not my fault. That we're punished for, like, why are you being crazy? Like, do you think I want to feel crazy? Am I like, ooh, can I please, like, bleed once a month and feel insane? Because that's what I want. No. And I think I might be PMS. No. But I also, you know, I've been working at the Comedy Cellar for 7 years now and been a stand-up for 10. And I also have interactions with Seinfeld once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so this isn't just me seeing the comedian Jerry Seinfeld has a web series, and he didn't use it. I'm not just reading these headlines. I also have, like, you know,
personal experiences with him that lead you to believe he thinks in a certain way.
Just like, and you know what? These are, I'm sure they're unfounded. What they trigger in me, but you can't help that stuff. People do it to me all day. I know I look like when somebody you went to high school with that like was annoying or a bitch or something, and people just are like, and you're like, it's not my fault, but you're not wrong, you know. So when I see that video and what's funny is funny, I do feel like kind of like he's dismissing, not by the choice to just use white male comics in the first season of your show. Like, do your thing, do whatever you want, of course.
Uh-huh.
But it, you know, it does bring up feelings in me, which that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're not blaming him and all you're just doing is being honest about your feelings. And sometimes people trigger feelings in people unintentionally.
I'm not blaming him for anything. Things are going well. Like, I have,
of course, but I'm saying that it doesn't mean that those feelings are invalid. If something triggers those feelings, it doesn't mean that this. Look, life triggers shit in people.
Yeah.
You know, you watch an eagle snatch a fawn and fly off with it. Oh, you might freak out, but guess what? It's tough shit.
People will like lash out at me. Like a girl. When I was opening for Attell, she would write to me like, I know you're having sex with him. Like, I was like, what? Like, he's my friend, and I opened
for
him.
Is this a girl that Attell was dating, or just some crazy girl?
I don't even think so.
Attell fan?
And it was like, I know. Like, she had created this whole thing, and I have people reach out.
That was me, by the way, under a pseudonym.
Was it you?
Yeah.
But I just,
tired of you and Attell fucking.
But when people, like, are mad about something, like, that, you know, I would, like, write, like, or I would just think, like, I hope she's okay. You know, like, this is.
Good for you.
No, but it's not
me. I'd hope she get hit in the head by a fucking meteor. Too many people.
But I'm just like, you know, people like will feel real strong about things that make no sense, or they have sort of no business, Like, it doesn't, yeah, just like doesn't make any sense. But it's like, so you feel that way, and that's okay. I think, I think he's obviously he's an amazing comic and made one of my favorite television shows ever. And it's allowed to trigger something in me that he.
I understand what you're doing. I mean, you're also trying to dance around your words and be, you know, very fair about all this. It's a very tricky subject. It's a bold one to sort of take on.
I work with these people.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I'm glad you don't think that I think in that way at all. I try to.
But I think it triggers something in you because you're mad that people were.
We're giving him a hard time.
Yeah, so why? Yeah. What was that?
Because I don't think that you should be forced to hang around with anybody other than the people that you choose to hang around with, whether it's cast them on your own television show or whether it's put them on your podcast or whether it's go with, on the road with them.
Yeah, whatever. It's annoying. It's stupid. Yeah. I don't think you should have to, but I don't love that he didn't naturally want to do that. And I'm allowed to feel that way.
But naturally wanting to do something doesn't. I don't think you had enough choices. Like, let's say.
Well, then that. I mean, that's a different conversation.
The whole conversation because there's only 10 spots. I mean, how many people does he love that are in those 10 spots, and why do one or two of them have to be women?
Who was on the first season?
I don't know. I don't know.
Can you look? Can we?
I have no idea. I really have only watched two of them. I watched the one with. Not Eddie Izzard.
I watched one with Louis C.K. on the boat.
What's homeboy Eddie, the other Eddie, other English Eddie? God damn it, famous guy. Not Eddie Izzard, the other one.
Eddie Murphy? Oh, no, of course not.
The English guy. What the fuck is his name,
Eddie,
God damn
the
it.
English guy who's not...
Who is that other famous English guy? That fucking other comedian that's on all the time?
He must be one of the 10 funniest
what
people
is his name,
alive.
Jamie? Who's the other? The guy I was on Opie and Anthony with him. Jesus fucking Christ! I can't believe I can't remember his name.
I'm having a brain
fart.
Eddie.
Oh my God!
Come on, he's one of the 10 funniest people
what?
Alive.
Thank you, Ricky Gervais.
Oh man,
Jesus
that's so
fucking
funny
Christ!
That you knew.
Ricky. Thank you very much. Amy Schumer's sister comes in the clutch. I can't believe it. Sorry, Ricky Gervais.
I love that she
Sorry,
was your interpreter.
I said Eddie.
For...
I was so blown away by Eddie Izzard's accomplishment of running 1,000 miles.
What's
he
the name of the
my
show?
Brain.
What's the name of the show?
The Office.
No, his
Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Is that what you're asking?
Okay, so the 10 funniest Ricky Gervais.
The only one I saw Ricky Gervais and I saw Letterman. Those are the two that I've seen. He's had a bunch of them. Alec Baldwin, Larry David, Brian Regan. He had a bunch of his friends. I mean, that's really essentially what he had. He had 10 of his friends, and they happened to be all white guys.
Yeah, I think that triggers.
Chris Rock was on there too, though. I guess was that season one? Yeah, season two. Chris Rock was on season two.
Where's season one?
And then there's Louis C.K. in there, and Sarah Silverman's in there in season two.
Okay, season one. Yeah. These are the what's funny is funny. The 10 funniest
Michael Richards,
people.
Carl Reiner, Mel Brooks. Can't argue that one ever. Colin Quinn and Mario Joyner. There's a black guy.
There's a black guy. So what's everybody?
By the way, Mario Joyner is, you know, he's, a good friend of his and a hilarious comedian.
Look, I don't think he's having meetings. I just.
He's putting Alec people Baldwin on that he thinks is funny. Those are the people he got. You know, I don't know.
Barry.
I can see what you're saying.
Marner.
I don't think you're dealing with a
large
enough focus group.
I would never put somebody on my show because I thought they filled like some diversity count. You know, like I think everybody should be able to do have whatever. If you never had girls ever on your podcast, that's your choice. And I would have feelings about it, and not because you should have to have them. Because I love that you love. Women and think women are funny. And that's not how everybody
it's
feels.
It's not all of them, though. I
of
like
course
the funny
not.
Ones.
I know. But I'm saying that's
well, that's
something
the men
that you
too,
notice.
Though. Well,
because there are still men who are just like, the women in the clubs. I swear. That's still a thing.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think that Seinfeld even feels that way.
I was going back to what I was saying about Judy Gold, is that the conversation that we had about this interview that I did was what I was trying to say in the interview was that I think it's a way more difficult proposition. Not saying that women can't be funnier or better or, you know, more clever, but I think that starting out, there's reactions that a lot of people have that are prejudiced against women that they don't necessarily have against men. When a woman goes on stage, I feel like she's a point behind, at least one. You know, right away, especially if she goes on stage and she has any sort of opinions about politics or sexuality or anything. I mean, a lot of times women are forced in a lot of ways to be self-deprecating at a level that a man isn't, just to sort of get in the door.
Well, a guy doesn't want to listen to you unless he thinks he could definitely fuck you.
There's that, maybe, for some people. I don't
no,
want to say
I don't even
guy.
Believe that. I don't even believe that. But
some guys, yeah.
But I think Judy's hilarious. I think, I'm not like I'm looking at you and we're having this conversation, and I think like men are all triggered by women in general, because it's like, who's the woman you've known the longest? Your mom. And
men
when she would talk too much.
Triggered by women in general.
I think when women talk, yeah, when like a woman is talking longer than you, like it can just. Yeah, I think.
What about when a man's talking longer? You want to beat the shit out of him. It's a completely different reaction.
Really?
Yeah, when men are talking long, you're like, dude, shut the fuck up. It's an aggressively assaulting on your senses sort of thing. When a guy is like overbearing and talks too much, men get angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, men might get bored if a woman. Everybody gets bored if anybody has shitty social cues.
Yeah.
If they're boring and monotonous and self-obsessed and they don't understand the ins and the outs of a conversation, the ebb and flow of two people enjoying each other's company. If one person just yapping at you like I'm doing right now, just yapping at you, I'm not even letting you talk.
No, you are. What are you talking about?
I'm saying.
I think you're right. I think when you go on a stage as a woman. When you start out, you have a strike against you.
Yes. More than
one,
I think.
I have enjoyed that strike. I kind of miss it because it was really fun to go up there and surprise everybody. It still is.
Right. So, like, your first joke, you get off, boom, they start laughing.
They're
you
like,
feel
wait
the
a minute.
Tension leave the room.
And then you're like, yeah. And you,
yeah. You, then they have the other confidence.
When I got eliminated from Last Comic Standing, because I just, they're bringing that show back.
How dare they?
I know. And, And they,
who's hosting it?
JB. Smooth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he host the last ones?
No.
JB Smooth is fucking
he's
hilarious.
So funny.
I got a great story about him.
But they showed me a clip.
One of my worst bombings ever.
Was what? Following JB?
No, I went on before him.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. He was supposed to go on first, and I was supposed to go on second. Yeah. We were working together in New Jersey, and he got lost. I got lost, too. It was a really hard place to find. It was some weird fucking college in New Jersey. So the show was already like 20 minutes late, and JB's not here, and I got there late, and they said, we're going to wait for him to come. Why don't you just have a seat in the rec room? So I sit down in the rec room, and I start watching this documentary on the Malibu fires. And oh, my God. God, is it depressing. People who lost their homes, and this kid was calling out for their dog. They were hoping their dog made it, and they're walking, smoldering fucking embers of their house, and they're walking around, Rusty, where are you, Rusty? They're calling out for a dog, and then this guy comes down, and he was a fireman, and he didn't even lose his house. They saved his house, but his neighbors lost their house, and this guy was weeping. I mean, openly weeping. He was talking about how this house is all he has and that he saved for 40 years to build this house and this was his house and he was so worried that he was going to lose this house and he feels bad that he's happy that he kept his house because his neighbors lost their house and he's fucking crying and weeping. And they go, okay, JB Smooth is still not here, so we're going to have you go on stage. So can you go on stage now? And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, let me just get a water and I'll go on stage. And I just went on stage and I ate the shit buffet of my life.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend was with me, you know, and I tried to explain it to her why. She had seen me doing well before,
yeah.
But I tried to explain to her, like, I was just not going to do good. There's no way I would do good.
Yeah.
It was horrible, horrible experience. So I went up there and just ate plates of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then JB Smooth shows up after me and destroys, just levels the place.
Yeah.
And they were so happy to see him because I was so terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful. And they were like, he was really funny at NACA. I swear he was funny. Like, I'd hear them talking when I got off stage about how bad I was.
That's the worst.
Like, the people that booked it, they were like trying to say at the convention he was very funny.
We liked him.
He was really funny.
That's just why we bought him.
And then I go, I'm sorry, I watched that thing on the fires. They go, why'd you do that?
Yeah, that's not smart.
I'm like, you fucking sat me in that room with a TV and that was on. I didn't flip the channel to that shit. That just was on.
Oh my God.
I learned a lesson, though. It's valuable what you have in your mind right before you go on stage. It's very, very, very important.
Yeah.
I've done it more than one times. where I've gone on stage after seeing something awful.
Precious is on. Let's just catch this while they're introducing you.
Read a book about the Kennedy assassination once all day. Read this book all day for like 10 hours and then went on stage and just ate dick. Just chomp, 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 chomp. Just couldn't be funny. I was like, they fucking killed Kennedy. They fucking killed Kennedy, okay? The casket was empty, okay? There's a different, in the autopsy report, I was fucking ranting to anybody who wanted to listen to me.
Now you're just listening to Eye of the Tiger, watching Home Alone.
No, now I just try to be relaxed and have fun. Yeah. And I have a bunch of different songs that I like to listen to.
Yeah,
I like to listen to like fun music, you know, and have my friends around, but no negativity. I got no. Even if something negative happens, I'm not getting in
Everybody
there.
Everybody has to have good energy.
Yeah, but I'm not getting in there. I gotta go. See you. Just giggle all the way out of there.
Yeah.
While rocks and fucking torches are being thrown my way. You gotta know what to let in and what not to let in right before you go on stage.
True. It's
super important. Especially when people pay to see you.
Yeah.
You know, someone's going out there to see Amy Schumer. You can't
it's
go
their
on
weekend.
Stage. Yeah.
I try to do the best I've ever done every time.
That's huge. That's everything. I mean, that's what endears you to fans. There's no other way around it. And you remember what it was like when you were a fan.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Burr was on the podcast, and he said it best in, you know, in sort of his own Bill Burr-type language. He goes, I remember when I was a kid, I'd go see a band, and then you go see them a year later, and they fucking phone it in. They fuck you. And I never forgot, you know, and I just I make a deal with people. I'm not going to fuck you. I'm not gonna fuck you. I'm gonna write new jokes. I'm not gonna fuck you. I'm gonna work hard.
He's one of the best.
Well, he's a real artist, you know. I mean, he's really that guy. He's really a great comic. I mean, that's what he's supposed to do in this life. He found the perfect occupation. He's fantastic at it, and he's got a real ethic for it. Uh-huh. There's a gang of them right now. There's guys, people that people haven't heard of, like Christina Pazitsky and Tom Segura is gaining steam. Those guys are gaining steam,
and
their podcast is gaining steam. And then there's people that people forgot about, like Attell, where he's, you know.
Attell and Bill Burr are my, I would pay to see them above everybody else right now.
Me, it's Stanhope. I pay Stanhope over everybody.
Oh,
he's my boy.
Him. He's so funny.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of great ones right now.
Chelsea Peretti, I think, is like...
I need to
see
her.
You have to see her.
I need to see her. Joey Diaz is my all-time favorite, though. Yeah. If I had to choose one comic, the last set that I ever got to see in my life before the fucking great meteor lands, it's Diaz.
That's a tell for me.
Diaz smoking a joint on stage, talking about his balls.
Just heaven. Just take this plane right down.
Are you enjoying doing your show?
Yeah.
Is it stressful?
It's a lot of work, but it's worth it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work, but the result, you're enjoying the process. You're enjoying
I enjoy the process of making it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
It's getting great reviews.
It is.
Yeah. You're saying like,
Well, yeah, because, you know, I was like, I'm going to make this show that I think is really funny, and I didn't know if people were going to be into it or not.
Well, there's a lot of darkness on your show. Like,
well, have
really
you met
funny.
Me?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, you're a happy, dark person. It's an unusual type of darkness. It's not overwhelming. You know,
oh,
it's not
okay,
overbearing is the better word. It's, you know, it's a fun darkness.
I like to have fun, but I do. Yeah, my mind goes dark. But it's not like, I'm not like.
Do you face any resistance, like subject matter wise or like the things you want to cover?
No. I don't think so. Not really. No.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. But then it's like a lot of pressure on you because you're like, okay, the network, like, no notes. Well, they're letting us. Like this season, we were like, we don't think you should be bleeping the word pussy. And they were like, all right. We were like, what?
Like, don't be a pussy or my pussy?
Either.
Whoa.
It can't be sexual.
Hmm. Well, then it's never my pussy.
No, it is. My pussy.
My pussy hurts?
Yeah, that's sexual.
Does it sexual?
Well, it depends on how you say it.
Yeah. Well, that black dick. Damn, my pussy hurts.
Yeah, no.
Right.
My pussy hurts. Then it's just like, oh, she's just talking about her pussy.
So they said yes to that?
Yeah, it's not bleeped. And we were like, what?
That's fantastic.
It's awesome.
Why not? Welcome to the internet.
That's so
okay,
crazy.
The internet exists. You can't just fucking pretend those words aren't being bantered around like one
of those.
I
thought it was real cool of them.
Badminton birds. Bink. People just tossing pussy around these days.
I can't
it's a different world.
It. I know I am.
Yeah, it's a different world, right? You know, that's all self-imposed. All their restrictions on language are completely self-imposed.
But, I mean, people, they're just, like, scared. They don't want to lose their job. But I really appreciate them doing that.
Well, it's not they lose their job. It's losing advertising revenue. And the revenue that they're getting from you is you're already a controversial comedian. You're already tackling, you know, dangerous subject matter.
Like Seinfeld.
You're throwing it at him. Oh, shit. No. I see what you're doing.
Please. He doesn't.
Hey, funny is funny, right? Whatever, whatever.
Funny is funny.
So what about shit? Shit flies too, right?
What do you mean?
You could say bullshit, right? You could say.
I heard the phrase tonnage issue. I think you can say shit like a couple times.
Oh, yeah. Now, if your show airs late at night, like after a certain time, do they have a difference in what they bleep and what they don't? Because I know they do with stand-up.
Yeah, totally. You can, yeah, there's a lot less bleeps after.
There's subject matter restrictions, though, even in the unbleeped one. What's interesting, like, they bleep some shit out. When they aired my stand-up special, my last special, they bleep some shit out of the earlier stuff. Thank you. They bleep some shit out of the earlier stuff that they edited out of the unedited stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they decided, like, without the bleeping, it's just... Yeah, this gay marriage time machine bit I have.
Wait, what? I love that you did it. You did it in Atlanta, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why'd you choose Atlanta?
I love Atlanta.
You love it? I love it, too.
It's an awesome city.
Yeah.
It's one of those cities that people don't... They sleep on it.
Yeah.
They sleep on Atlanta. Atlanta's a great city. And
those people are ready to go nuts.
It's a very diverse city too. There's a lot of diversity in Atlanta. There's a lot of alternative people as far as like tattooed up and piercings. There's a lot of like real Southern people. There's a lot of Black people. A lot of Black people that are professionals, like a lot of Black lawyers. You run into a lot of Black, like more so, I think. You see more integration of Black and white folks like hanging out and partying together. You know, I see that more in Atlanta than I do almost anywhere. And I'm sure racism still exists. I'm not naive. But I think that I enjoy the diversity when I go out in Atlanta. I think it's a...
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
So much so that I've thought about living there. But there's a lot of nonsense in Atlanta, too.
There's, like, a bunch of people, like, move to Atlanta. Like, celebrities have houses there. It's not a bad spot. That's how I feel about New Orleans. I feel like it's the same vibe there. Like, it's everybody, age, race, nothing matters. Everybody's, like, just hanging out.
Well, I think whenever you have people that are more inclined to be partying, you're going to have people that are more inclined to be fun. You know, I mean, that's just the reality of the world that we live in.
Right.
And you could pretend to be noble by, like, what you were talking about earlier, like abstaining from sex or abstaining from things that you enjoy.
Drinking or
yeah, you could pretend to be noble, but let's get the fuck over that. This is nonsense.
Just, like, hang out, have some drinks, and have fun.
Right. And who's going to be more inclined to do that is people that are more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that place.
It's great. Look, the less restrictions people have, the more I think, you know, people can come to like a comfortable state on their own without being oppressed, because that oppression is always going to make people spring back in the other way. If you tell people they can't drink, they want to drink more.
Yeah.
Tell people they can't fuck, they fuck behind every goddamn closed door you can find.
I know, went to Catholic school.
Oh! I dated this girl in Catholic school, and I talk about her. This poor girl could not, she could not help herself. If you rolled a dick down, it was like a ball of yarn in front of a kitten. She would just dive on it. She didn't even know what she was doing. She would dive on it like a crazy person. Like, she literally, like, it's unfair if a guy pulled his cock out in front of her. Because for her, it was just like a fucking leprechaun showed up at the bottom of the rainbow. It was like, look, I've got the gold. It's right here.
Why does that happen? What
suppression.
Happens?
Suppression. Catholic suppression.
That's
all that.
So funny.
Crazy. Human beings don't like to be told. Like, I have children and I have daughters, and I see it very clearly. When you tell them what to do, they I want to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. But if you rationalize with them and have conversations with them and say, listen, you can't do it because it's raining outside and it gets dangerous and this is electricity, and electricity causes sparks, so you can't do it. You can't go outside with this. Oh, okay. But I want to. I know. It looks like fun.
It looks great right now. Yeah.
You got to go to bed. But I want to stay awake. But you got to be up in 8 hours and you're going to be really tired. Yeah. I know you want to get. But listen, just relax. We'll read some stuff. I have these like rationalization conversations with them to try to avoid that backlash that comes from being an overbearing parent or an overbearing teacher.
Yeah.
That people don't like that shit.
No.
Nobody likes you telling them what to do.
Just
the way it is.
Right.
That's why suppression doesn't work in any form, whether it's sexual suppression or making, you know, alcohol difficult to get a hold of. People want it.
They want it even more.
Look at what the fuck is going on in Portugal. You know, they decriminalize all drugs. And they have way lower cases of HIV, way lower cases of addiction. They're all these numbers dropped. Their society like leveled out because there wasn't this massive stigma attached to all this stuff anymore.
I did not know that.
Yeah, the last 9 years.
Would you want to take a vacation there?
I don't mean why not? Why not Portugal? I think if you go somewhere. Another country. I mean, unless I go for work, I would at least want to acquire a rudimentary grasp of the language.
Yeah.
You know, just out of respect.
Yeah, that's tough.
Like, it's very hard.
Portuguese. Yeah. Even in Spain, like, you think you speak Spanish, and they're like, no, bitch, actually, you
well,
suck.
Well, in France, apparently, you know, everybody, like, talks shit about the French, but yeah. From my experience, or my friends' experiences that I've talked to them, they say as long as you try, as long as you, like, yeah. make some effort to communicate with them, they're very polite.
Yeah.
What they don't like is Americans like, how much is this?
Right. Why don't
Can I
you
give
speak-
you American yes. money? And, like, shake it in front of their face, yeah. you know?
In Spain, you would, like, say something in Spanish, and they would answer you in English. And you're, and just,
oh, really?
Yeah, they're
That's
like,
beautiful.
Shut up. But yeah,
That's
but
great.
They, like, didn't respect
like,
that.
Psych.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
sorry.
¿Cuánto cuesta? They're like, $20. I'm like, oh. I'm like, okay.
Did you like Spain? Do you like
yeah,
Spain?
I yeah, I loved it.
My buddy Chris lived there for a few years.
Where?
He lived in Barcelona.
Yeah. I almost broke up with a guy because he used the Castilian lisp, and it was just the two of us. I swear, you'd be like,
what is the Castilian lisp?
Barcelona.
Oh, is that how they say it?
Yeah, but
Barcelona?
Like, not if you're from Jersey. Like,
wait a minute, over there they say Barcelona?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
I mean, not all over Spain, but if you're...
In Barcelona they do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Barcelona.
And it's called the Castilian lisp?
Lisp, yeah.
That's fascinating. I learned a new thing from Amy Schumer. I had no idea that was the case.
We've talked for probably 30 hours total, and that's like...
That's the newest of the new things. I'm sure I've learned some things in the past. Let me review them. Don't get touchy. Well, he said that he never learned anything from me, and he was implying that I was a dumb girl, and that's what I felt. And that's what it triggered.
Is that me? No, is that me?
I'm just fucking with you.
I
Come
know,
on.
Girl.
We're friends and all
hey.
Here. I learned Barcelona lisp.
Barcelona.
A Castilian lisp.
Imagine like you're just talking to your girlfriend, and she knows you're from New Jersey, and all of a sudden, just the two of you, and you're like, oh, Barcelona? And you're like,
Barcelona. Say it.
Right.
Say it, bitch. You know who we are.
Oh, my God. I was like, please.
España.
Yeah, España. Like,
when the next time we go to España. Wait, what? What? You mean Spain? The fuck are you saying?
You're from Trenton.
España. I believe when you're over there in the culture, you should immerse yourself.
I'm like, we're in a hotel room and it's just the two of us.
There's a lot of annoying fucking people out there, Amy Schumer. But if it wasn't for them, we would have less to talk about.
Very true.
We wouldn't have as much fun doing comedy.
We have to air our grievances on a microphone in front of drunk people.
Yeah. And well, not only that, there's a give and a take to the universe. And if everything was all blissful, we would have literally nothing to talk about or talk shit about on stage.
Well, thank God it's far from that.
If without chaos, we wouldn't exist, Amy Schumer.
Okay.
We would not exist as comedians. There would be no need for us. If everyone achieved enlightenment, we're a dinosaur. We just don't know it yet. As soon as the fucking the machine plugs in and everybody becomes one, the transcendental mind, universal mind mesh happens due to technology, we're out of business. You got to stock up all this inside Amy Schumer money now while you can.
Okay.
Because once the fucking singularity hits, you and I are fucked.
When's the singularity hitting?
Any day now.
Oh,
probably
shit.
2049, but any day now can happen.
I need to get some sneakers.
You need some one dude from Silicon Valley or one gal or one guy in another country is going to come up with something, some fucking invention that's going to change the whole game and flip it right on its head, and we're all going to be able to read each other's minds, and there will be no more jokes.
I'm more worried that I forgot to TiVo Divas on E this week.
I think you could probably get that on demand.
Oh,
we live
God.
In a new era. You can get a lot on demand.
Sorry,
a lot of shows.
Out for a second.
A lot of shows are going on demand. I see what you did there. You diffused with comedy.
Isn't that what we're doing?
I think that's what we're doing. We're good at it. Inside Amy Schumer. It's on tomorrow night, right?
10:30.
It seemed more like an interview than any conversation I've ever had with you.
No. Oh, well, it's usually like a bunch of animals in here.
Well, no, it's just the breaking down the mindset. You know, like how
I
you,
love
your,
talking
your thought
to you.
Process. I love talking to you too. Glad we do it more often.
Yeah.
Let's do it. When are you back here again?
I'm here the next 2 weeks and then I'm not
okay.
here for a while.
Well, I miss you. You going back to New York?
Yeah.
Escaping with the money? Leaving with our milk and honey?
Right.
Going back to your dirty city on the
Just
other side of the world?
Bringing back the gold.
Oh, it's not cold there anymore. You can return to
mm-hmm.
your lair.
That's right.
And
dragging
wait.
My sack.
Enjoy. You're hedging your bets against earthquakes, but only living here a few months out of the year. I see what you're doing.
God.
Are you scared?
Yeah.
Me too.
I just had my first one. It was, it was not fun.
I think my pool's broken. I
know
it's a crack
so
in
sorry.
My pool. Oh my God. I'm fine.
Oh
I'm rich.
God.
Don't worry about it.
Oh my
but
God.
I think it's
but
a crack
wait,
in
that's
my
the funniest thing I've ever
oh
heard.
God.
I think my pool's broken. Like, oh no. I don't know what kind of gas my yacht tanks.
I noticed a crack in it the other day. I think the earthquake got me, these bitches.
These motherfuckers.
These motherfuckers in their earthquake. The really crazy thing is those poor, crazy assholes that live on those hills. Like when you go through Laurel and you drive up the canyon and you see these people that are literally perched on these stilts.
What are you going to do?
It's crazy. I watched one house fall apart. When I first moved here, it wasn't a really big earthquake. It was a small, you know what, actually, I want to say it might not have even been an earthquake. It was a landslide. And it was a landslide on Laurel Canyon. Like as you're going up, if you're headed towards the Improv, you're going up the valley, mm-hmm. on the right-hand side, there's this house that the back of it just came down and just crushed the house. And it was only that house on the street. So I'm pretty sure it was just a local landslide.
Yeah.
Just destroyed this entire house, pushed it off its foundation. It happened really recently in Malibu, too. Like, well, over the last couple of years, there was a neighborhood where these people got woken up in the middle of the night, these bang, bang noises, and it was their house breaking apart and falling down the hill. And they escaped. They ran out of the house just in time, where half their house went tumbling into the canyon.
How do you sleep?
Like a baby.
You do? You really do?
Like a bear, like a hibernated bear. Like a bear that got shot with a tranquilizer dart. That's how I sleep.
God, because I feel like your mind, like,
I ran out of gas, though. I just
that's what happens to me after 10 minutes on stage. I'm just like, all right.
You know, we're gonna get out of here. Okay. I'm gonna work out at midnight, and then I'll work out for like an hour or so, and then I'll be exhausted by the time 2 o'clock in the morning rolls out, and then I'm out. Yo.
And then how long do you sleep? When do you wake
8
up?
8 hours. I like to sleep 8 hours. Tomorrow I gotta get up a little bit early because I gotta do some ESPN type shit.
Oh, nice.
Gotta talk about some fights, upcoming fights on Fox this weekend. I'm also a Fox analyst. I don't know if you know, I'm a sports analyst.
I can't. No, I do. I can't believe, like, why you're like you're Beyonce. I'm more impressed with you than Eddie Izzard. Are you sure?
No, definitely not. Her or Eddie Izzard runs marathons. I'm just talking. It's a lot harder to run the marathons. I wouldn't do it.
But you use your mind, like you know, like I get tired playing chess. Like if somebody's like, oh, this like this stuff with the plane, like, I just, my mind just shuts off. It's just too much for me to process, and I'm just like, z.
But you don't get tired when you're working on your show, right? I mean, you do, but you're so enthusiastic about it, right?
Yeah.
Same thing.
No, yeah. Okay.
Totally the same thing. It's completely exactly the same thing.
It's just like a different mindset.
Well, it's just, you're not passionate about chess. So if you're playing chess, you'd be like, oh my God, I'm investing too much energy in this. Fuck this. But if you're working on your show, trying to put a sketch
I'm
together.
I'm like very meticulous and serious about it.
Yeah. It's the same thing with me. I'm just lucky that there's like more than one thing that I do. Like, you know, between the comedy and the podcasting and the UFC stuff. They're all just fun things to me.
Yeah.
So it's just a bunch of fun shit to do. So I talked to my friend Amy. That's a fun shit too.
Thank you.
Have fun in Orlando.
We're gonna have a good time. Me and Mad Flavor, aka Joey Diaz. Inside Amy Schumer is on Tuesdays at 8 PM.
10:30.
Mm-hmm. What time LA time? Is it East Coast, West Coast thing? They air it over twice.
Yeah.
They air it East Coast.
10:30. And then
I got the DirecTV, you know, so sometimes some of the things air on East Coast time.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is check your local listings, ladies and gentlemen. Inside Amy Schumer. Who else is on that lineup on Tuesday night on Comedy Central?
It follows Tosh.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great wave.
It's a sweet spot.
Oh, that is the spot. That's like the spot after Friends used to be on like Thursday night on NBC.
What show was that?
A bunch of shitty ones.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Like Caroline in the City. It was terrible.
Oh my God, Caroline in the City.
Yeah, Caroline the Shitty, they used to call it.
Oh, that's fucked up.
She was nice too.
I can picture that.
It wasn't a good show. It was better than The Single Guy, though. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Oof. Harmony.
I visceral.
Jesus. Louises.
Remember there Herman's Head? I love that show.
Don't remember. I blocked it out.
Really?
Yeah, like a finger banging in Catholic school.
You got finger banged in Catholic
school?
No,
I didn't, but I blocked it out if it was that. I don't even know. Probably was a good show. I'm just talking shit. I don't remember it at all.
Herman's
literally.
Head.
Tuesday night, 10:30. All right, we're done.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're awesome. AmySchumer.com, is that your website?
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. Go there, everybody, and follow her on Twitter, S-C-H-U-M-E-R, Amy Schumer in the fucking house. Beautiful.
Thanks.
That was fun. Thank you. And thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T. Go to Onnit.com, use the code word Rogan, and save 10% off any and all supplements. Thanks also to Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com and use the code word J-R-E. for your beautiful $110 bonus offer. Delicious and nutritious, stamps.com. Thanks also to Squarespace. Go to squarespace.com and enter the code word Joe for a free trial and 10% off your first purchase of the most awesome website building website known to man. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow. We got a lot of shit going on this week, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow is The Fighter and the Kid with Brendan Schaub and Brian Callen. And then on Wednesday, David Seaman returns, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So much love to everybody. Big kiss. Oh, Wednesday night, Ice House. We're doing a 10 p.m. show at the Ice House. So far, it's Ari Shaffir, Duncan Trussell, Tony Hinchcliffe, and me. I'm sure more people will be added. 10 p.m. show, $15. Can't go wrong. In your life, if you live and you love comedy, you must go to the Ice House, even if I'm not there. Anybody there, one time. It's the oldest comedy club in the country. It's in Pasadena. It's been there since '61. All right, go fuck yourself. We'll see you soon.